The place for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards, proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch for a link to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
This is Scott Steiner, and you're listening to The Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast.
I have a small dick.
Titties! God damn!
And ladies and gentlemen, the two-man group is back in the hizzy.
What do you say? What do you know?
What do I know? I know it's time for another exciting edition of the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk.
Talk about wrestling. Did I just Gino Gatz up the intro?
Yeah, a little bit.
I did, right?
What do you hear? What do you say?
That's what it is. Wow. All right.
And don't forget, Casey Gatal, Casey Gatal. Tony.
Kevin.
It's the two-man group rocking at you from Studio A. We've got two killer guests tonight.
More like the woo-man group.
There you go.
That's right.
That might be the title of the episode already.
Ah.
Not even 3 minutes in.
Eddie. You say all Eddie? Oh, already.
All Eddie. Okay. Oh, yes, gotcha. That's the next WrestlePro show coming to you in August.
Yahtzee.
Hashtag all Eddie.
All Eddie all the time.
Holy shit.
Woo!
Who's Eddie?
Ah. I don't know.
Sorry, I'm sipping a little twisted tea here. I figured
that's right.
A good time to celebrate.
It's tea time, baby.
The OG KG Kevin Gill will be calling us at 7:15 to give us a little update on the this and that's of the New Japan show this past weekend.
He was in attendance?
Sure.
Is that what we're... do I have to go back to the group messages?
Yeah, you may have to do that. I'll put it out on Front Street right now. It's been a fucking very busy weekend for me as well as Kevin.
That's right.
We didn't really get a chance, and the resident Japanese wrestling guru, unfortunately, is slinging pizzas tonight.
Yeah.
So nice of him to set up Kevin Gill to fill in for him and give us the what as to what's happening from the Cow Palace, a.k.a. Rising Sun East. Or is it west?
Well,
west.
I mean, it's the west of us, so it's the east of them, right?
Well, but they're the east. We're the west, so it would be Rising Sun West.
Yeah, but it's like closer to get...
But the sun rises in the east, not the west anyway, right?
I don't fucking know about the sun, man.
The sun was setting over the Cow Palace on Friday, was it?
Listen, yeah. I had to take an Uber to get here, so I know the directions.
Holy shit.
Of that. So KG calling in, and also we got...
Well, KG will be calling in shortly, and at the 8 o'clock hour...
The Bad Apple, Matt McIntosh, calling in to talk all things Capital Wrestling, and I'm sure we'll talk about some other stuff. Capital Wrestling has an event this Saturday, July 14th, in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Don't you find it weird that his nickname is the Bad Apple?
I love it.
But his last name is also McIntosh?
Are you joking?
Joking about what?
Don't you think that was the freaking point? Oh, McIntosh that's Apples?
That's just not irony. That's like he did that on purpose.
Someone did it on purpose. We can ask him.
That's not a bad idea.
I'm pretty sure it was done by design by somebody, whether it was Matt or Pat or even back in the day in the old company.
Fair enough.
Who knows?
So Matt Shapiro is the guy that runs the show down at Capitol.
Correct. Matthew Ryan Shapiro.
Well, Matthew Ryan or Matthew Ryan Shapiro, whatever.
Correct. Yeah,
he was part of my birthday bonanza.
That's right.
That's right.
He's also very integral in the old House of Glory crew. So
there you go.
So we're looking forward to talking about Capitol Wrestling this coming Saturday in Hoboken.
This
come Saturday. That's right, guys. It is come Saturday all day.
We need a come sound effect.
I got my iPad has no battery, so I actually have to pull up the
you should have told me. I got tons of fucking chargers. No, you need a fine. Charger?
No, it's fine. It's really just an excuse because I'm not prepared. So I gotta pull up the Capitol Wrestling
page. Well, actually, that's not true because you reminded me of something that I completely forgot about. It was 3 years ago to the night that I made my commentary debut. For the Tier 1 debut.
Oh, boy.
Over in Queens.
Who? What? Where?
Who? What?
What's the name of that company?
It was Tier 1. They haven't booked a show in who knows how long. But Dennis Long giving me the opportunity of a lifetime doing commentary alongside Larry Dallas.
That's right. I forgot Larry was on that first show.
That was me and Larry. And that was the first night I got to meet Miss New York. She sat in and did commentary for a match or two with us. Tommaso Ciampa was on that show.
Was he really?
Yes.
Oh, no. Not, I thought you meant on our show.
Oh, no. On our show, we had the great Curt Hawkins with us.
Who? I'm sorry?
Brian Myers.
Brian Myers? I'm not familiar with his work.
Dude, he's your fucking BFF.
What's that? Oh, that's right.
He called you and left a message for your birthday.
That's right. That's right. BFF. I actually talked to him the other day about...
Look at you!
About... Because he's part of that WWE Elite Squad with the action figures and all that stuff.
Dropping names, I like it.
So, but I had a question because I thought I may have gotten ripped off by a company who sells action figures that Hasbro toy, whatever. I didn't get ripped off, but I noticed that on my Hasbro there were two different trademark stamps on my Lex Luger. There was one on his back that said like 1992, and one on his trunks that said trademark 1991.
Ooh!
So I was like, "What is this?" So I'm like, I couldn't find anything on Google. So I reached out to Hawkins,
Mr. Myers.
Oh my God! Excuse me, sir. I'm just it's your biggest fan here.
So what did he say?
He said that
it was a boot.
No, it was legit.
Whoa!
It's just that Hasbro was too. Was very cheap with a lot of their parts back then, so they would recycle parts from other figures and combine them to make.
Okay, so who combined to make your robotic Lex Luger?
In his opinion, it was Luger, which I guess could be anyone, but he said that the back was the British Bulldogs.
Whoa! The British Bulldogs?
The British Bulldogs' back. No, the apostrophe S.
Oh, okay, not S apostrophe.
No,
I thought you meant like he had half of Dynamite and half of Davey Boy.
Well, Dynamite didn't have a Hasbro.
Oh, Hasbro's. I got LJN on the mind.
No. Gotcha. I know we're in an LJN zone, but Hasbro's been my collection of choice lately.
Yeah, I'm thinking big rubber figures. I was like, whoa. Because the first thing that popped in my head was like, wow, Luger got one of those? But
No. This was the Narcissist Lex Luger figure that had the British Bulldog's back, which I looked.
Well, eventually,
because I have a bulldog as well, so I compared them both, and well, they became the Allied Powers.
Yeah, he definitely had his back.
That's true. Until Bulldog turned heel.
Sorry, I kept fucking stepping all over you to try to get that fucking joke out.
That's my trademark on the Dumbfellows podcast. I think of a joke. And then I just wait. I'm like, come on, motherfucker, stop talking. Then I can't wait anymore. And then I just cut him off and make a joke.
Okay, but as a comedian, you like I always have this in my mind too, where like there's something that should hit, and if the opportunity doesn't come, I've learned to like not shoehorn it in.
Oh, I shoehorn it in. I have no shame. I don't give a fuck.
No, I learned that a while. It took me a while to get there too, but I'm like, all right, you know what? It could go. It
and then I don't care. It goes over like a fart in church. I don't care. I'm getting that line in.
Well, that's the gimmick.
That's right.
I do enjoy the Dumbfellows, available at GardenStateComedy.com and Shining Wizards Network Thursday afternoons.
Put two episodes in the can last night.
In the can.
They're
in Kevin's hiney. When he farts on Thursday, they'll be live on the network.
And church.
So let me go over the card real quick. Not the whole card. I just want to mention to you who was on this card that I got to call their matches.
All right. So we're going into to the anniversary of Tier 1, correct?
Yeah. I'm not going through the matches, but I just want to let you know who's on the card. VSK won the very first six-way elimination.
I remember that.
David Starr was involved in that, as well as Icarus and the Caveman.
Latin Dragon was there, and Bucks Belmar. I don't know if you ever heard of him. I haven't heard of him in a long time.
No.
Let me see. Bucks Belmar? Connor Claxton and Logan Black. They actually wrestled each other on the show.
Yeah.
Joey Ace, which was cool because they had a 2 out of 3 falls match with Sam.
Wait, are we sure this was your first?
This was the first
and,
one.
This is
a New Hope. This was Tier 1 Wrestling at our studios in Queens. Remember it was on like 100th Street?
Yeah, and me and CPA was there too, right?
CPA was there. Fala Ba was on the card. He wrestled, what's his name? The second guy.
Kyle the Beast.
Yes, Kyle the Beast. Thank you. I'm so glad that wall is up. It actually helped me remember. yeah, it was Kyle. Remember he's
been on the show twice, by the way.
He gave Fala Ba the jackhammer.
I was pretty drunk.
It was a fucking great match.
We had to walk like a mile and a half to get beer from me and CPA did, I think.
Gran Akuma, who I fucking like became a huge
whatever
fan
happened
of,
to him.
He got hurt and then I don't think he ever came back.
Hey.
Sonny Kiss.
That's right.
It was the second time I ever saw Sonny Kiss wrestle. First time was down the road over here for ECPW. Gimmick change completely. It was crazy. The Tier 1 title match.
Ooh.
Luke Hawks.
Okay. Never mind.
Somebody who will, I mean.
Remain nameless?
It is what it is.
Okay.
It was Rude Boy Riley.
That's who I thought.
Give a shit.
That's who I thought. That's how I went. Ooh.
But Mike Bailey, who was actually banned from the country because he didn't have his visa paperwork squared away. That happened subsequent to this. And Tommaso Ciampa was in that match.
That's right. Man.
Fucking A, dude. It was a stacked show.
How the fuck did I not talk to Tommaso Ciampa?
Because he was in a fucking mood, dude. He was ready to kill fucking people. He wanted that championship, and Luke Hawks won.
That's right.
I got a kick out of Mike Bailey, too. I liked his shtick, you know? I liked the gimmick.
Isn't it Luke Hawks' birthday? Or was it recently?
Happy birthday, Luke Hawks.
I don't know. I know it was something. It was close, so.
Well, he was your inaugural Tier 1 champion. Style and Finesse, remember them? The Damien Dragons?
Yes,
They wrestled Milk Chocolate.
They were good, that team.
They were both good. It was an excellent match.
But, yeah.
And fucking Brandon Watts has been tearing shit up. I forget, what the fuck is his gimmick now?
Well, VSK is part of Massage Envy, correct?
Yeah, with Dorian Graves.
Yes.
They are not allowed to be Massage Envy anymore.
What, did they get sued?
They got a cease and desist from Massage Envy.
What, the restaurant?
I'll give him a quick plug. Off the Hop Rope, one of my former commentating partners, Troy Nelson, Top Shelf. He's involved with a new podcast. They combine beer and wrestling. And
that's Smart Mark Sterling as well.
Yes, and Mark Sterling had a one-on-one with VSK, and VSK actually spoke about it.
All right.
So I'll give those guys a plug. Go check that out. It's called Off the Hop Rope.
It's beer, it's wrestling.
It's fucking everything. They actually, one of the matches they covered was Barry Horowitz and Skip.
Yes. The roll-up win, the upset?
Whatever the pay-per-view follow-up was.
Okay, that would have been one of the In Your Houses, probably. Yes. Or they wrestled at SummerSlam.
It might have been SummerSlam.
SummerSlam 95.
Didn't they also have a tag match where it was, what's his name, with Hakushi?
Yeah, it was, the whole thing was, it was Rad Radford was involved in that whole feud. And
it was Rad Radford and Skip.
Against probably, I mean.
It was Hakushi and
Barry Horowitz. And they also did, at Survivor Series 95, there was the Underdogs versus the Body Donnas, which was Barry Horowitz, Marty Jannetty, Hakushi and Bob Holly.
Probably, yes.
Versus
was it
Sparky Skip
Plug at that point?
Skip. Oh, whatever. Whichever one. Skip, Rad Radford, Tom Pritchard.
Who was pre-Zip, right?
Pre-Zip. And the 1-2-3 Kid.
Do you want your Zip?
Right after he turned heel.
Pre-Zip.
Yeah, I like those pants.
Is it raining out? Precipitation?
Oh, my God.
Oh, fucking boo.
Where is KG?
I had to squeeze that one in. Save us, KG.
God.
I could give us a little... Oh, never mind. I was going to give us a little quick news and notes. If I could just pull up Skype.
There it is.
I don't see the little... Oh, there. Finally, it came up. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say it right now? It is a distinct honor and privilege and pleasure to welcome back to the show the OG KG, Mr. Kevin Gill. What's up, my brother?
What is good, my Shining Wizard Ninjas? It's such an honor to be back with you guys, man. We're bridging the gap from San Francisco to the east coast of the golden shores of New Jersey, and we're covering the whole world in the middle.
Well, they're not exactly gold because the streets here are lined with gold. It's more like piss because, you know, that's it's right. New Jersey, but it is what it is.
I was trying to put over Jersey. You're talking to someone who usually refers to it exclusively as dirty Jersey, but that's
there
old
you
school.
Go.
That's wow. Even long live life for New Jersey. I haven't heard Dirty Jersey in a while. That's good to hear again.
Yeah, or even Dirty Jers for short. You know?
There you go.
KG bringing it back. Now, we've got a little bit of a caveat to put out there first. Of course, as you know, Matt is the resident expert on all things New Japan. And unfortunately, Matt is not with us tonight. So we kind of have to rest on the almighty shoulders of Kevin Gill to give us the what's happenings with what happened this past weekend with New Japan.
Yeah, man. You know, I was there in person here for the G1 special in San Francisco. Shout out to Access TV and New Japan for hooking that up. I was a member of the press. Right. I got to, you know, cover the pre and post match press conferences as well as the actual press conference they did the day before. So, you know, it was just the groundbreaking reporters of Wrestler, myself, Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, Nick from WrestleZone, you know, just guys like that. So it was pretty dope. And yeah, I was there on the ground and I got all the scoops and some hot takes and all that.
Well, I mean, it's up to you, brother. I mean, you're the press expert on this one. All right, go ahead.
What was probably the biggest takeaway from that show? Was it the injury? Was it the ending with Cody and Kenny Omega? What, I mean, there was a whole bunch of stuff in between, and I'm looking over the card right now. What to you was the biggest takeaway from that show?
Well, not to put a light on anyone's injury or even the main event ending, but to me, a bigger story than all of that
is
the amazingness of the New Japan products, like the show they put on, 9 matches, 4.5 hours long. It was absolutely brilliant. Like there was no dead match. There was no BS. There was just nothing. There was no match to go to the snack bar. There was no match to go look at merchandise. It was just incredible the level at which these people can perform, you know, the wrestlers, and the way that it's opening up more and more American fans to this pure form of pro wrestling. And it's very interesting to note too that, you know, according to Dave Meltzer and other reporters, well, primarily Dave Meltzer in this case, he said it was between 85 and 90% of the tickets sold were sold locally, which it makes it even more of an incredible success to draw in the neighborhoods of 7,000 people to an event because unlike All In or unlike New Japan in Long Beach, the overwhelming majority of people did not fly into this. They pulled from the local market, which is mind-blowing. You know, that's more than a WWE house show would do.
Oh, 100%. And I think the one thing we can all agree on when we are lucky enough to catch New Japan on Access TV, obviously, is the consistency in which their shows run in terms of quality, in terms of amazing talent, and in terms of just overall good product. Is that something that you can really kind of compare with somebody else, with another company, maybe NXT, maybe PWG or something like that? Or
100%. Yeah, I'm just glad you didn't say WWE because that's the only one I feel, you know, NXT is a much better, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Yeah, it's like the best people in the world performing at the highest level possible, with the only considerations being let's have the best wrestling show possible. You know, WWE is obviously a great company. They do many great things. They employ thousands of great people, but the product that they put out, it's just like Coke and Pepsi. You know, some people prefer Coke, some people prefer Pepsi, and some people really just love wrestling and they want to see people wrestle. And I enjoy that myself the most. So I think that's why I connect with products like NXT, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, or in this case, on the big scale, New Japan.
Yeah, and I noticed here, I did see this because I watched some of the show. Juice Robinson.
Oh my God!
Finally, I mean, achieving like something that probably he not too long ago didn't think that he would ever achieve. Thoughts on Juice Robinson and what he's accomplished since leaving the umbrella of WWE.
Man, like I had the honor of going to Wrestle Kingdom, I think it was like 2 years ago in Japan, and Juice Robinson and the Switchblade were both young boys at ringside. Like when we were looking at pictures that we took at the event in Corican Hall, you could just see them very visibly. They're the young boys, you know, and to go from that to where they are now, the pre-event press conference on the Friday, Juice Robinson spoke to the press and took questions and such, and the man had such charisma, such shine. Like again, he was appearing on the same press conference that Kenny Omega, that Cody Rhodes, that the Young Bucks, Marty Scurll, all these mega star performers and mega charismatic performers. And he just shined on another level. Like watching him do the two press conferences he did and talking with him a little, I was like, man, this guy is like just shining on a level beyond human comprehension. I was like, this guy is just it. Like, he's everything, you know? And then he went out there at the Cow Palace here in San Francisco, and he wasn't in a good spot on the show. Do you know what I mean? Following up that Hiromu and Dragon Lee match that also, you know, not just because it featured an injury, which really wasn't known to the people at the time, you know, the severity of the injury, but because Dragon Lee and Hiromu literally tore the house down, it's very hard to follow a match like that, which is following, you know, Okada and Ospreay versus Naito and Bushi, which is following the Young Bucks versus Evil and Sonata. And I'll be damned if Juice Robinson quite possibly got the pop of the night. The whole pop of the entire night was for him winning that belt. And what was it about? It's about wrestling. He cut a promo that said, this is what it's all about, the belt. If we're not fighting for belts, why are we here?
Right.
Why would we do this otherwise? You know, and I think a lot of people, people in creative positions or in the booking position at some of the larger companies lose sight of that very simple premise. You know, fighting to be the best has been a timeless reason. It's why every baseball team, football team, every boxer, every athlete of every niche performs to be the best. And wrestling, it's great when you could sprinkle a little drama on top of it, but that core principle of competing to be the best seems to connect with people in a way that doing skits doesn't.
Did you have any interaction with him? Because I don't know, going back in time, I don't know. I know why he announced his retirement shortly after he left WWE. Do you know what drew him back and where this passion came from for New Japan and how his success totally evolved there?
Well, he talked about it a bit this weekend. He said that when his time was wrapping up in WWE, like, or NXT, before it was up, Prince Albert, aka I'm sorry, I forget his Japanese name right now. You know who I'm talking about.
Tensai.
No, it's
Lord Tensai, who was then part of like the Funkadactyl. What was that called when it was?
Sweet Tea and Brodus Clay.
That was it.
I love that you know that, brother. Thank you. God bless you. Sweet Tea. So Sweet Tea was a major factor in NXT at that time, and he had kind of let Juice know, if you ever want to kind of try to make the move to Japan, or that's ever the right move for you, maybe I can help you, you know. And Juice didn't really think he had what it took to be on that, you know, Japanese stage, so to speak. But when Kenyon Seaman released him from WWE, he told him, you know, Joe, go out and be the star that, you know, we know you can be, or whatever. And he's like, it took me 3 effing years, but I did it, I made it, you know. So he's like, everyone always wants to ask me about WWE and NXT, but I don't want to talk about it anymore. That was then, this is now, and I'm in a way better place.
And I think Matt Bloom's Tensai's New Japan name was Giant Bernard.
Yes.
Yes.
There it is. Beautiful. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just came to me.
I'm sorry. I'm a rambler, but I was going to say too, I'm a big fan of the ongoing theme in wrestling of people like Albert Tensai, in this case, seeing the talent, the passion that Juice has for the business, and kind of helping him along under the radar, or giving him that, you know, putting in a call for him or putting in an email for him. And Juice told the story also of literally he was doing at the time, he knew it was his last match in NXT, and it was a match for WWE, the Access thing they do at WrestleMania. And I forget who it was from New Japan that was there, but one of the top New Japan officials was there backstage, and Juice didn't know it. And since it was Juice's last match, he totally didn't give a damn about anything. And he went out, and Shawn Michaels was out signing autographs, and he did all this Shawn Michaels related, like super kicking, and just totally had fun on his own terms, did exactly what he wanted. And little did he know that New Japan was watching and was like, wow, this guy's got it all. We'll take him. You know, so I don't know about the retirement part of things, but it seemed for him that it was a very quick, like he had not yet even completed NXT, and New Japan already saw maybe what NXT wasn't seeing.
You know, we mentioned the injury, but I want to get back to that. But I do want to finish up with the Jay White Juice Robinson match. What happened in the middle of the match with JR getting knocked on his ass?
Man, and, that's like the hottest story in wrestling. And I asked Juice about that right after the match, but obviously Juice didn't really get to see what happened from his perspective, so he wasn't able to add much. But you know, it's one of those things. Wrestling is a very interesting business, and I was surprised to see some of the top people in the media and the press react the way they did to it, because to me, it's a great, 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 great angle. It's a brilliant, brilliant angle to set up for Josh Barnett to go and fight maybe in Long Beach, maybe in Anaheim, and do some business with New Japan, which would be incredible. That's how I looked at it. As it's gone on now, it's gotten more interesting where, you know, JR stating that, you know, he has a broken rib and he has to miss work. He's in agonizing pain and things like that. I don't know if something went wrong or if it was just never supposed to happen, but it's very hard for me to believe that maybe everyone knew about it, but JR, or I don't know what the particulars were, but to me, that was about as classic of a wrestling angle as you could do. It was so good that it seems to have fooled everybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I legit popped hard for that when I saw Josh getting up and going, wait, what was it that he said? You done fucked up now? And he started chasing Jay White into
You know
the
you
ring?
Done fucked up now. The way he didn't even look at JR once, he stayed locked on Jay White. And, yeah, that was incredible. I was actually standing just in this little corridor right outside the main arena when the JR hit happened. And the crowd reaction was like, we knew something just happened. So we stepped into the arena like we were Gangstar. And that's when Barnett came around the table. And then that, the ovation and the roar for that, it was like, oh, my God, you know. But I hope that Jim Ross is in good shape. I would hate to see the man injured. And now I guess I don't know how to take it. You know, as someone who books shows myself, to me, that's a brilliant piece of business. But all reports seem to indicate that it was not a piece of business. It was just a piece of magic that occurred before our eyes.
Nice. And, I mean, this card was obviously loaded, and New Japan is always loaded. But a guy that I want to get your take on is a guy who I had a little bit of time to spend with down at WrestleCon last year in Orlando, where I actually got to finally meet you face-to-face, was Jeff Cobb. And I'm super happy that he's getting this opportunity with New Japan. Thoughts on Jeff Cobb and what he's done since really making a splash for New Japan?
Oh, I mean, Jeff Cobb, I've been a fan and a friend of Jeff Cobb since he first showed up here in the Northern California independent scene. And it was from here that he springboarded to the world. But the guy is just world-class guy, world-class athlete. And I've watched them rise through the ranks. You know, once he hit Gorilla and Lucha Underground, you know, that seemed to really light the fuse. And now, to be given these opportunities in Japan and here, I gotta think that if you guys watch this back on TV or everyone else watches it back on New Japan World or wherever, when you see the reaction and the applause that Jeff Cobb gets, the chance, and you see the match that he's having with Goto, and Goto's not exactly known for, you know what I'm saying, giving the most to people that maybe he doesn't want to work with or he doesn't respect or whatever. So it shows you the level of competitor, the level of professional wrestler that Jeff Cobb is, that he can go in there and steal the damn show, almost like a tear the house down type match. So I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be prouder. I think no one deserves it more. And I don't really think anyone can wrestle on his level. Like, what he does is kind of the ultimate amalgamation, in my opinion, of amateur wrestling and professional wrestling.
Yeah, I had a chance to call his match actually against Darius Carter. I think it was last year, working for Tier 1. And yeah, he's just, like you said, he's a great guy, but he's a beast, man. He's just he's an absolute monster. He's out of that, he's out of the mold. Ah, who's the other guy that was the never open weight champion? You know who I'm talking about, former guest of the show. Big guy. The woman was saying that he was allowing the touchies and the feelies.
Oh, Elgin.
Elgin, Michael Elgin. Yes, he's an athlete. I'm sorry, bro. I'm having brain farts. Like, I know where I want to go, but I'm having a hard time getting there.
That was like Password. That was like the game show. Password.
Wow, I popped KG hard.
Oh, my God. I was like trying to think of which person. I definitely wasn't thinking of that person. But I think Jeff Cobb, though, when you look at physical size, I think physical size, pure athleticism. I think Cobb takes the advantage over Elgin. Plus, to me, Cobb, with his heritage and island background, the Hawaiian Islands have always been a very essential place for Japanese people. A lot of Japanese people love to go to Hawaii. It's kind of like has a synergy with Japan, to me, in such a way that it's almost like Jeff Cobb almost isn't a gaijin there. Like, to me, he's just on their level. And, you know, I feel like there's a cultural connection between Hawaii and Japan. Maybe that's part of it, too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Hawaii to Japan is kind of like the Caribbean is to the East Coast. You know, like it's
right.
I've only been to Hawaii once. It was many, many moons ago for my honeymoon. And yeah, man, the Japanese love going to Hawaii, dude. It's a whole other world out there. One other thing I did want to get back to.
One quick note before we switch. I just wanted to say that I've also had the opportunity to sit down and interview Jeff Cobb twice in person for the Kevin Gill Show. So those are 2 60 or 90 minute interviews, and those are out wherever podcasts are heard. But if you really want to get to know Jeff, I did one when he was on the rise, and one just maybe 2 months ago or whatever. So it gives you a good kind of take on his whole run and the kind of guy he is.
There you go. Takahashi versus Dragon Lee for the Junior Heavyweight Championship. I've seen Dragon Lee.
Holy mackerel.
I've seen him do the Dragon Driver a bunch of times. I don't know what. I've watched his tape probably like 20, 30 times already. Any idea from your perspective as to what happened? Like, what went wrong? Was it just a freak accident? Was it that these guys were tired? Were they slipping on each other? Because, like I said, it's pretty much like he's done this a bunch of times, and nobody's ever, you know, come away with an injury like this.
Right. And also, though, I think, to your point, like, no one's ever been released from it before. Like, normally it's a very bridging, you know what I'm saying, suplex, like kind of tuck under and go. And in this case, it was when Hiromu was kind of released from the hold, or, you know, the throw is kind of when everything went wrong. You know, the night before, so we're talking Saturday, July 7th, is the G1 special in San Francisco. Friday, July 6th, was the King of Indies tournament about 10 minutes from the Cow Palace. And that show featured Dragon Lee in the tournament. Dragon Lee, in fact, went on to win the King of Indies. He had 3 incredible full-length matches on Friday night, you know, at a world-class level. And then he obviously is coming into the New Japan event on Saturday with, you know, with some mileage and some wear and tear. I mean, I did notice that both men were obviously very sweaty during the match. Like, it was a very physical thing. Like you said, I've watched the replay a bunch of times, and you don't see, like, you know, you don't see a slip or a fumble or an anything. But from what I've looked at, and then hearing what some other people have said about it, I guess the general consensus maybe at this time is that that Hiromu kind of slipped from the hold. Like, so, you know, the throw wasn't supposed to be a throw. It was supposed to be the traditional driver, and it didn't work out that way. And it's a tragedy, you know, just to have that level of injury to someone who's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And, you know, at this time, Hiromu is still here in San Francisco at the hospital. So, you know, it's a tough situation for everybody. I don't know that it's anyone's fault per se, but there's always, you know, you just never know in wrestling. That's the danger of wrestling.
Absolutely. And it obviously, you know, our thoughts go out to him clearly, but just to maybe shift more on a positive note, real quick, we're going to wrap it up soon. I know you have some stuff you want to plug. I know about your project with Pondo. We'll get to that in just a second. But real quick, do you have any inkling or any idea into whether or not New Japan wants to regularly try to compete? Maybe not with WWE per se, but I guess for lack of a comparison, we'll say that. Do they have any interest in competing with WWE in America?
Well, I think just having an American presence, like, compete is a tough thing to say just right now. If you look at WWE's television rights deals and the foothold they have in the market, I don't think anyone can compete with them. However, you can certainly thrive in addition to them, WWE thriving. Like, there's room for other companies to do really well. And I think with New Japan setting up the dojo in L.A., opening the lion gate, so to speak, for a Young Lion show over here, announcing the Long Beach return, I personally don't think they would be back to San Francisco necessarily super soon, but I do see them expanding further than just these California shows, and it's total speculation on my part, but why wouldn't New Japan want to run on WrestleMania weekends? You know what I mean? And if New Japan starts stringing together these events into tours and other things, and, you know, we watch the New Japan Network numbers are rapidly increasing their awareness. New wrestling fans, old wrestling fans are finding them. New wrestling fans are finding them. You look at what the Young Bucks are doing in Hot Topic and all that. And it's all connected to New Japan as well. Like, New Japan gets, you know, rubbed from that as well. And I think all of that combines to make them a kind of a something that's on the WWE's radar for sure. I mean, that's why the WWE has been signing as many of the top New Japan guys as possible. And it's certainly possible that in the next 6 to 12 months, you can see the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and whoever in WWE, because at a certain point, WWE can now offer you any amount of money if they want you there. So if New Japan becomes that much of a threat, it might become a test of how much money WWE wants to spend on certain guys.
Yeah, I totally agree. KG, real quick, I want to talk about something that I'm not exactly sure how you're involved, but I know you're involved with Memoirs of a Madman with Madman himself. Talk about that book.
Yeah, well, Memoirs of a Madman is just a book by my friend Madman Pondo. He and a gentleman whose name I forget, I apologize, sat down and wrote this amazing book, and I was interviewed for it, so I told some classic Pondo stories in there.
Nice.
But I know it just came out, and I know people are popping for it, and I know that it's on Amazon.com. So everyone and their mother has a wrestling book, but not many people have had the career that Madman Pondo has had, and that, you know, he's been a lot of places and seen a lot of things. So, and he has a lot of unusual friends like Marilyn Manson and such. So I think it's going to be a pretty good book, man. I can't wait to read it myself.
Also, tell us about the Rocksoft Wrestling Boat.
Ah, that's right.
Man, yes, the Rocksoft Wrestling Boat. Kevin Gill presents the Rocksoft Wrestling Boat. Is like the manifestation of a fucking dream, man. my buddy Jake from Rocksoft New York City, they're New York City's premier concert promoters. In addition to their land-based endeavors, for the past 17 years, they've been running concert cruises around Manhattan. Everyone from George Clinton and Funkadelic to Murphy's Law to the Cro-Mags to the Bad Brains, like nice. Hardcore, punk nice. Rock, metal, Municipal Waste was just on there, funk. It's all awesome. So me and Jake did the Pro Wrestling Film Fest together, and we had the idea to do SummerSlam weekend, Saturday, August 18th, an amazing all VIP experience. Meet the stars, take pictures, get autographs, and then set sail for a 3-hour tour and see the Statue of Liberty, go under the Brooklyn Bridge, like just be out there in the world. And this is on Saturday afternoon. You school it. It's over at 3, and there's plenty of time to get to NXT or get out to dinner or get to do whatever you want. So signed to appear are Tommy Dreamer, Matt Stryker, the bad boy Joey Janela.
Yeah.
And we're literally Penelope Ford, yep. Casanova Valentine, the master of the no ring death match straight out of Brooklyn. But we're literally, I think tomorrow, if not tomorrow, the next day, we're about to announce like 3 huge names being added. So if I was you, I would get your tickets now at rocksoff.com. That's, you know, the way it's spelled, rocksoff.com. Check it out. It's going to be amazing, man. It's so such a cool thing to have wrestling on the top deck of a giant ship, and it has 3 floors. It has bars on every floor.
Nice.
There's food. It's like an experience, you know, and for all the fans that come in from England, that come in from other parts of the country, and even fans from New York, because I know when I lived in New York, I never went to go look at any of the tourist stuff. It's a nice opportunity to get out on the water, see a great show, meet the stars, and all that good stuff.
Nice.
We might have to go to that, Tony.
Well,
please.
I'm thinking if KG could give us one of those 3 names, maybe a little hint as to one.
Oh, we're prodding.
Poking the bear a little bit.
Well, what if I was to say that one of them was one half of wrestling's premier power couple?
Hmm.
Ooh.
All right. Well,
all right. I've got a few names in the head. I don't want to spoil
it. We'll mull that over. Hey, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Because me and Matt, Shining Wizards Matt, were talking about this last week when we obviously plugged the show and everything. Wrestling on a boat, like, aren't you no nerves or anything like that? Like, nothing, like, it makes me feel, like, weird just thinking about it. But I'm going. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to go.
It's like a big cruise ship. You know what I mean? And they do these cruises every day. They've been doing concert cruises for 17 years. Concert attendees are a lot drunker than wrestling attendees.
That's a good point.
Dude.
And it's New York Harbor. You know what I mean? So, like, you're pretty much, like, the safest place in the world in terms of security and medical assistance and all that. And you're never really more than a little bit from the shore anyway. You know what I mean? If it's, they've never had to turn a cruise back in 17 years on the music tip, but if they ever did, they could be back on the shore in short order. Mm. So
I'm thinking cruise ship.
I'm pretty excited about it, man. Are you not a boat person?
No, exactly. I'm a boat guy. I don't mind the water. Like, I love going on boats. I love fishing. I love doing that stuff. But I don't know, just the thought, I guess it's more of like,
well, it's not a battle royal. It's not like guys are getting thrown over the side.
No, I get that. But, like, just the thought of, like, I guess it's more of, like, the visual and, like, the sounds that I'm hearing in my head, like the bumps on the ring and stuff like that. I just feel like they're just going to go right through the floor.
Well, I guess you're going to have to get out.
What I'm thinking about is Joey Janela standing in front of the fucking Statue of Liberty, you know what I mean, with his hair blowing in the wind before he hits a Canadian destroyer on somebody. I'm thinking of, like, the shot from above when the boat pulls under the Brooklyn Bridge and stops, and it's shot from above, and you have a match under the Brooklyn Bridge. Like, when is that ever going to happen again? That's, you know,
amazing. You know who, I mean, you should book. Like, you know who you should book for wild. That. You know who you should book for this show? The woman that just climbed the Statue of Liberty.
Do you, I book her.
Book her versus Janela.
Well, I think I'd have her accompany Janela.
There you go. Fair enough. Yeah. Wow. Awesome, man.
Yeah, I invite everyone to come down, man. It's going to be a good time, and we're doing it limited capacity. So instead of stuffing the boat full of people, we're doing a small number of people being invited. It's a big boat. There's going to be plenty of room to explore, and there's a deck with a DJ and all this stuff. But we're going with the less is more approach. We'd rather give everybody more of an experience, you know, get on board. Have some bagels, have some coffee, you know what I mean? Meet everybody. If you want to hit up the bar or do whatever, that's available. You know, I think it's like a unique chance to see New York and to see some great wrestling.
It's rocksoff.com, rocksoff.com. As usual, it's rocksoffnyc on Twitter. As usual, at Kevin Gill Show, at OG Kevin Gill, kevingillshow.com for all the Kevin Gill Show stuff. Kev, before we let you go, is there anything else you want to get out there? Anybody else you want to shout out? The floor is yours, my brother.
Oh, well, you know I do, brother. Just sound the alarm when I've used up my never-ending stream. But I wanted to send a huge shout-out to the Underground Wrestling Alliance. I'm going to be doing a show there this Sunday. That's in San Jose, California, at the Ritz. They have totally wild, off-the-hook shows, 21 and over only. It's very smoke and vape friendly in there. Not tobacco friendly either. Full bar and just insane wrestling with me on over the PA commentary. Very similar to kind of the style I do with The Gathering. So it's like a very wild style that they have, and I love it. So that's going to be incredible. And then, of course, that reminds me of The Gathering of the Juggalos, which is going down next week. Next week, dog. Thornville, Ohio, Legend Valley, the 19th annual Gathering of the Juggalos. We got 3 days of wrestling in there, or three nights, I should say, because the wrestling starts at 1 o'clock in the morning. But night one, we've got Battle of the Sexes, all intergender matches, headlined by Joey Janela versus Penelope Ford, and Little Bundy, a.k.a. Jeff Cannonball, taking on Tara Calloway in a Till Death Match Do We Part match.
Holy shit. Husband
and wife in a hardcore match, headlining night one. Night two is Oddball Wrestling, which is all just unusual death match and crazy stuff. The Marijuana Mayhem match. Mosh Pit Mike is going to be putting his hair on the line against Homeless Jimmy's House. It's going to be incredible. All that and more. And then Friday night is Bloody Mania. The Amazing Bloody Mania is back. It's headlined by Tommy Dreamer, Congo Kong, Shane Mercer, the whole, all the star, M-Dog Matt Cross, Teddy Hart. making his JCW debut. He's going to be taking on Joey Janela. That's a world exclusive right there. That hasn't been announced anywhere, but you heard it here first. Hart versus Janela at the Gathering of the Juggalos. What the fuck could possibly go wrong? Absolutely nothing. So that's going down. All that information is at juggalogathering.com. And, you know, the wrestling is just part of the flavor. They got Insane Clown Posse. They got Tech N9ne. They got Gwar. They got Jelly Roll. They got Yellow Wolf. They have 100 other artists and people that I'm not mentioning. But check out Juggalo Gathering for more flavor on that. And, of course, like you said, check out the Kevin Gill Show podcast. I have a new New Japan exclusive episode about to drop all about the G1 special. I've also got a headlocked graphic novel special coming up. Nice. And a two-part episode with Tim Thatcher, a man of usually very few words. So to get him for a 90-minute discussion was definitely something special. And that's what's going on in the world of Kevin Gill. And I appreciate being part of the Shining Wizards Nation of Super Greatness.
Kev, always a pleasure having you, my brother. Be well and much success with everything. And, of course, much clown love. Did I say that right?
Whoop, whoop. See you on the boat, motherfucker.
Love you, brother. Take care.
Bye.
Peace, guys. Love you.
Love you, too, man. Be well.
OGKG.
Look at that guy.
Fucking hey, man.
My man. Pots and pans. God, I want to make that shirt, but it's already been done to death.
Well, you know, I've sent a couple of designs your way, and you keep poo-pooing everything that I'm...
Yeah, we got to figure something out with that.
Like Al Bundy would say, oh, let's throw this in a bed with Madonna, see if she sleeps with it.
We're going to... What else do I say on the show that could be a shirt? Like, what else am I known for?
Playing on your iPhone?
That's a good point.
Fuck. Dude, Matt Squires, I know you're listening. Figure something out.
Make me a shirt, something to do with my phone.
Fucking A. Hey, do you want to take a break or do you want to do like the cheating
break? You want to do a break?
We can do a real break if you want.
Do a real break and then we'll come back with maybe, we'll probably have a couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, we could talk for a few. I mean, I figure get it out of the way now because he's going to be calling at 8 o'clock.
You'd rather take the break now than after,
Mac. Yeah, of course.
That's fine. I'll do
that. You're listening to The Shining Wizards on rantemrieta.com. That was OG Kevin Gill. Stick around because in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by the Bad Apple, Matt McIntosh.
All right.
Back after this.
Here's your chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and click on your country's banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and a portion of your purchase will support us. Blue Apron, if you haven't tried fresh food, easy to prepare, and absolutely delicious, go to shiningwizards.com and click on the Blue Apron banner to save $30 off your first order. If you like wrestling videos, visit shiningwizards.com and click on the IVP videos banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and once again, a portion of your purchase will support the show. If you like great wrestling t-shirts designed for all of us, visit Collar and Elbow at collarandelbowbrand.com, where wrestling fashion meets street passion. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your order. For all your lucha gear needs, visit luchashop.com. Once again, use the code WIZARDS at checkout to save 10%. The High Spots Wrestling Network offers over 2,000 hours of video content every month. Go to highspotswrestlingnetwork.com and use the code WIZARDS at checkout for your first month free. If you're interested in great lucha crates, visit our friends at luchaloot.com. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your first crate. If you want wrestling shirts from today's brightest and biggest stars, visit Bottom Line Merch at bottomlinemerch.com. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them at zubaz.com and don't forget to check out their lucha masks. If you're interested in starting a podcast, doing some designs for social media, or anything else that requires some technical savvy, visit our friend Brian Thompson at gauntletcreative.com. Support those who support us, the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, And always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonderdome, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at Inconclusive Pod or Facebook.com/Inconclusive Breakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
Back.
Ah!
I figured we'd do a little ICP for the comeback.
There it is. Shout out to KG, Kevin Gill for calling in. Support him. He's a good guy. What I'd like to have right now is for all you inner city Shining Wizards sweat hogs.
Whoa.
Shut your mouth while a real man does some bootleg plugs.
He's fat!
That's right.
See what I mean? Like, he keeps skipping. I don't know what happened to the soundboard.
That's tonight. Not coming across, though, is it?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah,
fucking right. Terrible.
Prince of Pro. Let us
Prince
know.
Prince of Pro.
Prince of Pro. Prince of Pro. All right. I'm going to do makeshift plugs again because for some reason we never remember.
We ain't got no plugs.
To do the plugs. We'll be joined by the Bad Apple, Matt McIntosh, Russell Pro, and Capital Wrestling's own. But first, let's shout out our boys at WrestlePro.
WrestlePROonline.com.
WrestlePROonline.com. We are WrestlePro on the gram, all that stuff. They just had a show this past Friday in Union, New Jersey, which I should probably tell a story about, too. And then this Friday, they'll be at Freedom Fest in West Windsor, New Jersey, which is, I guess, Middletown or something like that. So go to that show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Kevin Matthews, Bear Bronson, Pat Buck, Dan Moff, all that stuff. All that great stuff. WrestlePro Online. Create a Pro. CreatorProWrestling.com, I'm guessing. Let's go with that. That is obviously the umbrella school of WrestlePro. So follow them. They have some good stuff coming up. House of Glory. Something.com.
Something to wrestle with.
Something to wrestle with. Support our good friends at Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson. They need the support, clearly.
yes, they're floundering.
They're floundering over there in the podcast world. Smash Wrestling, SmashHaffinWrestling.com.
Wrestling Smash!
Yeah! Turn my mic on!
Blah, 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 blah.
Beyond Wrestling, Game Changer Wrestling, Combat Zone Wrestling, Club Pro Wrestling. Capital Wrestling, of course, we'll be talking a lot about that coming up. Wait. But
Pro Wrestling Magic!
Pro Wrestling Magic!
Wrestling
yes.
Has It Tomorrow!
Yes!
Standalone Wrestling, Battle Club
yes.
Pro!
Yes!
I think that's it.
And I'm sure there's more, but again, Matt
is the king of the plugs. We don't exist with plugs without Matthew.
I am Arnold. I haven't heard from Just Incredible in a while, but his Credible documentary is still in the processes of being edited and whatnot.
He posts a bunch on the old social gram.
CredibleDocumentary.com. guess that's it.
I mean, everyone. Just support please. Everyone.
Yeah, listen. Please. I beg of you, Shung Tzu. Please listen to this week's episode of My Unconventional Life.
Ah, Nigel.
Nigel could use some love.
Uh-oh.
Nigel needs some love in his life.
Are we talking about prostitutes or are we talking about...
We're talking about maybe a handy if you're feeling up to it, but at least just a, hey, I'm listening, I'm checking you out. It's not a wrestling podcast. It's a relationship
but it's
slash...
Nigel freaking McGuinness.
I know. It's a parenting podcast, too, because he's a dad now, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So if you're a baby having a baby, listen...
No, babies have older than I am.
Babies have no. I'm saying it's some words to the wise or the not so
wise. Fucking MTV special. Babies
that's
having
right.
babies.
Babies having babies.
You ever hear the story of the 39-year-old grandmother? They exist. They're out there, Kev.
It's only 4 years older than me.
No, 39-year-old grandmother.
I know. Listen. I'm all GILF baby.
Fuck.
GILF daddy.
Yeah, but you're not a grandfather.
I mean, we don't know that. All right.
Well,
I'm assuming this is our...
Speaking of grandfathers.
No, they don't even say that. Ladies and gentlemen, I can only assume that this is our next guest on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, Russell Pro and Capital Wrestling Zone, the Bad Apple, Matt McIntosh.
Making his return to the show.
That's right.
Records.
Second appearance. Matt, what's up? You got Kevin and Tony with you. How's it going, buddy?
Buddy?
What's up, guys? Good timing, I assume.
Oh, of course. You know absolutely. Me?
We were literally just talking about 39-year-old grandmas when you called in.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
Thoughts?
I mean, so wait. 39-year-old grandma, you would... Fuck. So it's like an 18-year-old mom? Two 18-year-old moms?
Basically.
Something like that?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't do the timeline myself, but I'm guessing that's what it would be.
That would be the definition of a GILF?
No. Oh, I told
you. There you go. You're making Kevin horny now.
That's right.
Whoa, easy.
Well, he's not, but the thought is.
Well.
Matt, how are you coming off a nice little weekend of wrestling for WrestlePro? Obviously, you have Capital Wrestling coming up this Saturday. Talk about you're in a six-man tag team match, I believe, with Sonny Kiss and Anthony Gangone. Talk about what you're expecting coming up this Saturday.
Well, I'm expecting a hell of a show. Just like Capital Wrestling typically puts on. You know, me and Gangone, I guess, have had like a little bit, and Sonny, we've had our differences. You know, I come into places and I have like, I guess I put people off a little bit with my attitude and such.
No, you?
Well, you're a bad apple.
Me, yeah. Who would have thought, right? we've bygones have been bygones. We buried the hatchet and every other cliche I could think of.
There you go.
And now our goal is to basically shut the mouth of
Darius Carter,
Paul Jourdain, and the Memphis Mofo.
That's
so
right.
Looking forward to that. On top of a whole stacked fucking lineup of a lot of other talent, including I think Matt Tremont is making his debut.
That's right. Versus MV Young versus Matt Tremont.
Yeah, should be good, man. Everyone should come out to Hoboken on July 14th at 301 Garden Street.
There it is. Look at this guy. He comes prepared.
Mr. Capital of the World.
How do you rub people the wrong way when you're so prepared for everything?
Well, he's got to know where the show is.
I'm a cranky fuck. You know, I guess I have a bad attitude. As long that's what I've been told.
Well, can I break? I guess your mystique. I guess because you were arguably one of my favorite people to hang out with whenever I get the chance. No, I'm not, he'll probably tell you
terrible no,
that's
won't.
True because
well that, I think that speaks more to the other people that you hang out with than anything about me personally.
See, now you're very
I appreciate that compliment.
Now you're getting very philosophical on me, man. I didn't like that. We go out, we have a good time. We're the new Apple Corps. You and me should start the new Apple Corps.
No.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
That's it.
Why not?
Don't lead him on, Matt. Please don't lead him on.
No. This is it. It's happening. Mark
no,
your
I'm
calendars.
Gonna talk. I'm gonna talk to the booking committee over at WrestlePro, and you know we'll make it happen.
That'd be fucking awesome.
You take all the heat, though. I just want to let you know.
Oh, that's fine.
You take all the heat, make hot tag. I make the comeback. And
that's fine. Just make sure I have make sure there's Jameson in the corner. And then
always.
And then I'll do it.
Holy shit.
Matt, talk about your progression in at Capital Wrestling. Capital Wrestling, relatively new on the scene, but yet has made pretty extensive strides, especially with their marketing and their social media presence. Talk about your thoughts on just Capital Wrestling and how far they've come in such a short time.
Well, I think it's something kind of very unique. I think Monday they just surpassed about 1 million views on Twitch.
Right.
So they're on top of things like Impact and the CEO. Well, I mean, the CEO New Japan thing was like a one-time thing, but I think the graphic that I saw is like they were number one last week regarding like professional wrestling on Twitch. You know, they're just bringing a lot of different stuff to the table. They're really focused on, like you said, their marketing, I think, is really good. You know, I get like 15 to 20 notifications that I'm tagged in something every day, I feel like. But that's what you got to do. And second off, I think the production is like, if not the best, it's right up there with anybody else, especially on the non-million-dollar budget kind of, you know, independent wrestling scene. So I think that's what's really setting us apart from everybody. And I think that's kind of coming to fruition a little bit, and it's being shown, like reflected in the numbers that they're putting up on Twitch right now.
Absolutely. And we don't want to stray too far away from the Capital Wrestling talk because,
yeah, we can. Why not?
No, we can, because I know Matt, you're making, if you haven't already, forgive me. You're making your West Coast, California debut coming up at some point soon.
Yeah, August 18th. I'm debuting for Ground Zero in, San Diego. Luckily, you know, they were one of the people that actually respond to an email or a Facebook message. So that was pretty cool to get that opportunity. I'm really excited. I don't really know who I'm going to be facing yet. But to me, it doesn't really matter. I'm just going to go out there, do my thing. And, hopefully this could help, you know, jumpstart some shit in the future. But, yeah, I'm real excited for that. I can't really put into words how it's going to be my first time out on the West Coast, number one. So, I'll try to behave myself until after the show, so you know that I actually make it there and I don't end up incarcerated or anything like that. I'm real excited for that. But that's in August. So I still got a little bit of time before that. But right now I'm focused on Capital Wrestling, and I think we got WrestlePro this Friday and West Windsor too.
That's right.
And busy July.
Well, wait, before you go on, I just want to mention, you said your first time going out there, San Diego is probably my favorite place to go in the entire country. It's beautiful.
You have to let me know if you have any like recommendations to go anywhere.
Oh, absolutely. I'll hit you up. We went there, oh God, it's probably like 6-7 years ago.
And by we, he means Tony and I.
Yeah, because, you know, because Matt, Kevin's okay. A hanger-on, as you found out. but yeah, man, I could give you a bunch of good spots. There's a lot to see and a lot to do, and it's such a chill area too. And San Diego's got the best weather.
What I've heard about San Diego is like if you could live in one place 365 days a year, it would be San Diego.
The humidity's not high. It's 65 in the morning. It's 75 all day. It's beautiful, and it never changes.
That right there, that makes it worth it right there. That makes the entire trip worth it. So, yeah, I'm going to hit up San Diego for a couple days. I'm going to be out there for 10 days. So
nice.
I'm going to hit up San Diego and L.A.
Absolutely.
Too. I got family up in L.A. So there's a couple things. I want to hit up like the Comedy Store up there too and all nice. That shit. So trying to make a big, nice big trip out of it. But
for
definitely
sure,
could use whatever recommendations. I'm trying to eat some really good tacos, stuff like that.
There it is.
Well, there's some hair tacos over there I could...
well, I meant like actual tacos. I should have probably prefaced that, but yeah, you know. Either way, whatever.
And of course, Matt will be...
My man!
This Saturday, July 14th in Hoboken, New Jersey, 301 Garden Street, for Capital Wrestling. But his reach goes far beyond that, and of course, WrestlePro as well. Talk about these... I've been seeing these vignettes of you online for Battle Club Pro, and they're actually really well done. What was it like... shooting those, and is it like a process for you now, like to to just like, how long does shooting something like that take for you?
Well, that one, the latest one that I did, I think we shot in like a day. It took maybe like a couple hours, and then it's all on the guys at Battle Club, Carlos.
Yes.
And Joe Kim, kind of just making magic happen through like editing it and, you know, hiding all my fuck ups and stuff like that. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. That's another thing that I think like, makes, Battle Club stand out. And I was trying to get back to that because that was something that we were doing at Battle Club. Like originally, there was, I think Bowens did one and then I did one that had to get deleted. Darius did one and like, you know, it's just, you know, vignettes seem to be a little bit more important than anything that goes on in the ring is what I'm learning. I feel like a guy like Janela kind of like helped set that forward
right.
with some of the stuff that he was doing. But it's all about, you know, trying to get people interested in what's going on. I think that these vignettes kind of, it's like kind of, you get out of it what you put in. They're a lot better to me than, you know, the typical guy recording a promo in selfie mode on, you know, with his white apartment wall behind him and stuff like that. So it's really, it's just, you know, it's like anything else. You're trying to do what you can to be an outlier and stand out. And, I think, Battle Club's doing a really good job with that. So I'm excited for that one too.
And the one that I just recently watched with you, like smashing, like the stuff on the wall, they're almost like short films that amongst themselves and do a tremendous way to raise awareness and get people interested in the product that honestly, it's about promoting the product, but they do it in such a great way. And it's not, you mentioned Joey, who obviously Giancarlo works with him a lot with those. So it just seems like it's a really artistic way of getting the product of professional wrestling out there.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, just like everything else in wrestling, like the vignettes got to evolve. You know what I mean? Like for some reason, everyone seemed to get away from them, even up to like the top level of like WWE and stuff like that. It seemed like no one was really doing them. So, it's cool to kind of have them come back. And they really are like small movies. And I think that's what, you know, allows people to kind of take things a little bit more seriously than just a regular, like I said, you know, a guy just sitting in front of a wall, kind of talking a lot of crap, making himself seem real tough and stuff like that. There's, you know, you got to be a lot more, you got to be a lot more creative, a lot more unique, you know, because otherwise you're just another dude just talking shit into his phone.
Well, shit, I remember a few years ago when you had that feud with Habib. You were beating the shit out of him in the parking lot like every other day.
That's true. I forgot about those.
Remember that? I remember specifically him throwing him over the top of the dumpster and fucking just telling him to get lost. That shit sticks out.
That I got him deported. You know, those were good times.
Oh my
those
God.
That was my peak. That I peaked in like 2013. Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's not true, but that was 2000. Those were 2013.
I don't know why you talk shit about 2013,
2014, something like that. Yeah,
I'm just saying
a while ago.
I just don't think he's peaked yet. Is what I'm saying. I think he's at the top of his game. Doesn't necessarily mean he's peaked.
I know. Just the way he fucking delivered that line, it was so deadpan. It's just hilarious.
It's just like there's you've been around like. I remember talking to you outside of a WrestlePro show and remember you being around for so long for how young you are. So that's why it's just like when you give certain things a date, it confuses me. And that stuff with you and Habib was literally like 5 years ago.
Yeah, but it felt
yeah, 4 to 5 years ago, yeah. I mean, I've only been doing it like 6 years, which in the grand scheme of like other people really isn't anything. But... yeah, I just, you know, it's sometimes you get lucky breaks. I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to kind of beat the crap out of a small Pakistani boy, and people hated me for it. So, you know, it's just, you know, right place, right time, I guess. I don't know. No, except for Habib when he got deported. That was the wrong place.
Yeah, you know, thinking about it now that you mention it, you were only in the business not like what, like a little over a year at that point. So you originally came through.
But I'm sorry to cut you off, Tony.
Cut me off.
This is like I knew
Kevin's having a moment.
No, because it's just again, it's just it boggles my mind. It literally boggles my mind is that when I met Matt in, you know, the old company and then WrestlePro, I had already thought that he had been around way longer than a year, or way longer than a year and a half. And then when I found out that that wasn't the case, I was like, how have I
You know why?
Because I heard so much. I've heard his name. I've seen his name everywhere.
You know why? Well, I'm sorry, Matt. Well, Kevin and I just having a side conversation here for a second.
Hang tight, buddy.
When we
big deal.
When we first
We're
saw
all just
Matt,
shooting the shit right now. It's all good.
No, when we first saw you, dude, like you had it, like you were above everybody else that was around you at that point in time. And I know you said, yeah, I peaked in 2013, but dude, like you came out to shoot and you were like fucking on top of everybody. And I think that's where Kevin kind of is having the senior moment where yeah, it's just like you didn't like you were just fucking rocking it, dude. I don't know how else to say it. Like you were just there at that point in time.
I think I would attribute that to my own crazy brain. So when I started, I didn't start training until like 23. I think I had my first match at 24. And in my mind, I was like old as shit at that point. And I gave myself till 30 to try to make something happen. So my whole thing was to kind of just try to come out of the gate, like pedal to the metal and try to just get as much shit going as possible. And then here we are. I'm 30 now. I'll be 31 in November. And I'm starting to do that like, maybe 35 we'll give it to. Because, you know, like, I feel like I'm the best that I've been so far as like my ring work, character shit, promos. But, I could definitely do a little bit more. I wish I had that fire still that I had back then before I kind of realized, you know, how difficult it is to kind of make waves in wrestling and stuff like that. So that's kind of been where I've been the last couple of years. It's just trying to get that, that innocence, the unconditional love, and stop thinking of wrestling logically, because when you think about what we do logically, it really doesn't make sense at all. It's kind of like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? I appreciate the compliment. I don't know. Just trying, just doing my best. That's all I could do, you know?
That's it, man. And what was it last week? Kevin and Matt actually talked to the Graysons, and we've had Sonny Kiss on the show a few times. Like, you were part of that whole group that came through ECPW, right?
Yeah, I started training at ECPW. I got trained by Rocky Jones, Jerry Fazio, Gino Caruso helped a little bit. Crazy Ivan beat the crap out of me for like a year.
Well, of course.
Yeah. But hey, I mean, to be honest, that was probably the best thing that could have happened to me because it taught me a lot. And then I think once I started, I think I was training for about 6 months at the time. And that's when Pat opened up his school. And then I saw that it was going to be Pat and like Sammy Callahan were going to be helping out. And more importantly than that, it was going to be in Rahway, which was like a half hour from my house, as opposed to like the hour and a half I had to drive up to get to ECPW three times a week for training.
Yeah.
So I was kicking myself in the ass, I think initially, but, I think everything worked out okay in the end. Yeah, I mean, I'm really grateful for learning to bump in that stiff ass ring in the middle of winter where it felt like a piece of concrete. You know what I mean?
Oh, I remember that ring.
yeah, that was not fun. That ring. But you know, it learns. I don't know. You learn to protect yourself real quick. Is what I would say.
Oh, of course.
But ever since then, there's been a lot of guys that you know, Sonny, the Graysons are doing their thing all over the place. Sonny's obviously, you know, big TV star now, you know, but I mean, even like, even if you like, look at guys like, Kueling originally yep. started up at ECPW
right.
And I think he's doing pretty good for himself now too. So
it's so great that entire crew that came through ECPW is reaching big things right now.
Yeah. It's very encouraging. I feel.
And Matt, let me ask you this, because this past Friday we obviously had the show in Union, and forgive me if I'm totally blanking on this, but you worked a younger guy, correct?
Yeah, Josiah Tiger.
Yes, that's right. So talk about how, like, you're, I'm not saying you're transitioning into that role, but you're now expected maybe to fill that mentor tutoring role, especially maybe just on shows. Is that something that you embrace, or is that something that you're not ready for yet? You still want to keep pushing forward with your own aspirations, or is it something that you can accommodate both?
I like to consider myself, not to toot my own horn, but I like to consider myself like one of those five tool players. So you need whatever you need, I could fill that role, and I'm more than confident in my ability to do it. So whether that's being able to take a guy like Josiah, who a lot of people didn't really think might have been completely ready for doing, like, for the standard that a place like WrestlePro has. And I felt like I was able to take him, and we were able to put on a relatively decent match. But I think that really speaks more to the training that he's getting from, like, guys like Mario and Pat and Moff and Kevin down at the Creator Pro School. You know, it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. But to basically answer your question, if I'm needed to kind of be that guy to mentor a younger guy, I have no problem doing that. I enjoy, like, teaching, what I've realized, like, just through, you know, my shoot job working in physical therapy, where I kind of have to teach people how to do things properly. And then, like, once they finally get it, there's just, like, something, I don't really know how to describe it, but there's just something kind of, like,
fulfilling.
I don't know. It makes you feel really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you're able to help somebody out and, like, help them kind of see what to do and what not to do. But at the same aspect, I've been told that I'm a person that will never, ever be satisfied. And that might be detrimental to me sometimes, but at the same time, you know, I'm constantly trying to improve myself more. And, you know, I'm still trying to do, you know, accomplish whatever goals that I set forth for myself. But, you know, whatever someone needs, I feel like I could fill that role, like I said. I'm starting to ramble a little bit.
No,
but I hope that answers your question.
Dude, 100%, man. 100%. And of course, Bad Apple, Matt McIntosh here with us on the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast this Saturday. Capital Wrestling, 301 Garden Street, Hoboken, 8 o'clock, bell time.
Tornado de nada.
Bad Apple Pro on Instagram. What's your Twitter, buddy? Because I haven't been on Twitter too long or too lately.
I think it's Bad Apple Pro, isn't it?
Yeah, Bad Apple Pro on everything. I made it, try to make it as easy as possible for myself, mainly.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. My man, Pots and Pans. This is it. Matt McIntosh, the Bad Apple. This Saturday in Hoboken, New Jersey, he will be teaming with Sonny Kiss and Anthony Gangone, taking on Darius Carter, Ronald Paul.
Ronald
Paul. Ron Paul? Ron Paul?
I'm reading.
Kevin's doing the politics.
I'm reading the text from.
I think you mean Paul Jourdain.
It says Ronald Paul Jourdain. That's what the text I'm reading from your boss is what I'm reading.
I don't know about that. But yeah, it'll be me, Gangone, and Sonny Kiss, Darius Carter, Paul Jourdain, the Memphis Mofo, Mark Bavara.
It says
Jeff Hannibal will be there.
His
Miley.
His message says, number one, Anthony Gangone / Matt McIntosh / Sonny Kiss versus Darius Carter / Ronald Paul Jourdain Hicks / Matt Bavara. I know. I didn't mean to throw him under the bus. It's just Casey Navarro making his debut there against Smiley as well.
Isaiah Wolf versus Jeff Cannonball. Tim Danger taking on my man, J. George. The unpredictable J. George.
So unpredictable. Yo, J. George brought a N64. To Wrestler's Lab on Sunday, and it was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's awesome.
I saw that. You guys were playing No Mercy.
Yeah.
No Mercy, and I think he had Fire Pro.
Oh,
he had, like, the Japanese No Mercy, which was, like, that was really cool.
Japanese wrestling
But
game.
It just goes to show you how unpredictable J. George is. You never know.
That's a good point.
What are you going to get? You know?
Matt, thanks a lot for calling. We're going to let you go because we don't want to keep you too long.
Yeah, Kevin's had enough of you, dude.
No, fuck that.
Oh, that's okay. Hey, we got to do another in-studio one.
You got
where
it,
I'm
man.
Not completely ridiculously sunburnt, so we could get a good picture this time, too.
Oh, you got it.
Absolutely.
Now man. That you're more fun to be around, absolutely.
God damn it.
Trying.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Bye. Take care, brother.
Adios, guys.
Dude.
The bad apple. Having a little fun
with
him.
That's my dude, man.
I know.
Like, I wasn't fucking around. Like,
that's
whatever.
Why I was breaking your horns.
I don't care what fuck. I don't care how I come across. Because if I like somebody, you don't get to. Listen, we have a limited time on this fucking planet, all right? So if I like a guy, Matt's one of the guys I legit look forward to seeing all the time.
Holy
because,
cow, are you waxing philosophy on the Shining Wizards?
That's right.
Jeez Louise. Because,
dude, we go out to the spot after the show. I know that's a guy that I can rely on.
That is hilarious.
To have a good time with.
That is hilarious. Yeah, and he was trying to blow you off, too. You're completely destroying his gimmick.
Fuck him.
Oh, shit.
Matt McIntosh, Bad Apple Pro on Instagram, Bad Apple Pro on Twitter. My dude. There he is. Man, it's flying by. The time is just flying by, dude.
Well, it's been a great show. That's why. I'm trying to see if I have any news and notes. Oh, you're a belt, Mark. How about for this?
Uh-oh.
And I can't. Excuse me. I found it on Reddit. I found it on one of the wrestling websites. And I know for a fact one of the belt pages that we're on had the listing. There's someone is selling...
Women's tag team belts?
No. They're selling the TNA Legends title.
The red one?
The actual belt. Like, the real, legit, like, the one that was on TV that was...
Who would buy that?
I mean, if you're a big TNA fan, I mean, that was the Legends title, the global title, the
TV title,
the King of the Mountain belt. Like, that thing got around. You know what I'm saying?
Like a whore in church.
Ooh, easy.
Listen, I'm Catholic. Okay.
I mean, it looks pretty beat up. The leather's, like, kind of faded. So, I mean, it seems legit.
Who do you think has that? Booker T? AJ Styles?
I don't know.
Mick Foley?
And believe me, it's not one of those things where like it was like New Japan where we didn't even bother to research it. I was honestly trying to find the thing again because it came across on 401 Mania that somebody was selling it. And I was like, yeah, I saw that. And I combed through Facebook and I could not find it. But it was legit on one of the like the wrestling like belt fan pages that I believe you're a part of as well. And I couldn't find out who it was.
Yeah, but sometimes I turn off like notifications for groups that I'm in immediately.
No, I hear you. Sometimes that's the way to go. Sometimes that's the way to
just
go.
Just because it's too much sometimes. And sometimes I regret, like, the LJN group that we're in, I turn off notifications on posts because it's...
Dude, some of them are really good. Some of them...
are awful.
But, like, and I
feel... But, hey, kudos to them that try. At least they're trying something.
I can't be that guy, but sometimes I'm just like... Ugh.
And also, I'm not interested in customs. Like, I don't want your custom. Like, I want...
No, I mean, but, like, it's cool to look at. Like, I love creativity. If somebody could, like, make it look nice,
yeah,
you
that's
know?
True. I guess my motives are just a little misplaced.
No, I get it. Like, you're a purist. You, like, you know, like, all right... Not a custom, but a refurb. Like somebody gives like Andre a new paint job, you'd buy it?
No.
So you like want them all worn out?
I'd rather have it bad quality. I just bought a lot of, JYD, Bulldogs, and who else was in that lot? Orndorff.
Orndorff's a great figure. Orndorff is taller than Andre. I don't know if you noticed.
He's fucking impossible to stand.
That Orndorff figure is really.
You can't
like,
fucking stand those motherfuckers.
It's really goofy. I got him in back there in the box. He's like a. Yeah, like, he's an anomaly. I don't know where they came up with him.
Whenever you were kids, you tried to make like a display of them. Like you'd always have to like lean like someone on other back of somebody else.
Yeah,
they
exactly. Like if you had a tag team, you kind of like lean one arm on the other.
So they wouldn't fall over.
Just ridiculous.
But yeah, absolutely. That Orndorff was a weird figure. And you know what else? I also wanted to get a Coco Beware figure just because I loved that with the jab. But that's another weird one.
Everybody get up.
That's a weird one. The Million Dollar Man one's a weird one. The LJN. I think I talked to you about this, and I'm sorry if you've listened to this before and all this nonsense.
You know, there might be some new people. They came for Kevin Gill. They hung around for Matt McIntosh, and now they're listening to your drum.
I don't like. Action. Give me the action figures the way that they're. That they wrestle. Like, don't give me $1 million holding a stack of cash. Because how is that, like, going to, like... How is that going to... He doesn't wrestle like that. Like, I'm playing with these guys.
No, I hear you. So, fuck, wait. You mentioned $1 million Man.
Ah, Jason.
J- Jason Sines.
Dude, he loves us, by the way. Shout out to Jason Sines. He's the best. He's a great guy.
I love hitting him up on Twitter, just like favoring him and messaging him and stuff.
He's on his show out in Cali. He lives out there, but I always follow his shows out there. And we have some mutual friends out on the West Coast.
He's cool as shit, man. He loved doing our show. He loved the Kevin Garifo birthday special.
He's an avid listener. He listens every week.
Good for him, man. Good for him. Gave us the Owen Hart exclusive for your birthday.
That's right.
That was all for you.
That was terrifying.
He was like, does Kevin have any favorite wrestlers? I'm like, yes, Owen Hart. He's like, awesome.
That was disheartening. No pun intended.
Sure.
I swear to God, I didn't mean it.
You liar.
One, I swear. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Why not?
Let's do it.
Happy birthday, Kevin.
Owen Hart. Thinking of Owen Hart. Thinking how he fell so far, and he hit so hard. Bad idea from the start. Yeah, we miss you, Owen Hart.
How can you be upset about Owen Hart dying when you hear that peppy tune?
Listen, that makes me feel a little better. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh my God! And like Matt and I listened to it before, you know, the show. We couldn't stop laughing like two idiots. Oh, brother, that was good stuff. Hey, hey, Kev.
Yo.
Let me ask you a question.
All right.
This is an aside. This has nothing to do with wrestling, but...
Oh, all right. I like that.
But this came across...
That's why we do a wrestling podcast.
This came across my news feed, and I had to bring this up because you're a comedian. I think there might be gold in here somewhere.
Oh, no.
Okay. Let's start with simple facts.
Mm-hmm.
What if... Say you're a married fella, right?
All right.
What if you came home and you caught your wife cheating on you, and the guy she was cheating with was right there. You caught them like red-handed.
All right.
Bad, right?
Yep, I'd say so.
Like, marriage over, get your shit, get out. Might even grab a baseball bat. You know,
I would have to.
Like, you wouldn't take a cab home with the guy.
Is that a callback from the Dumbfellas podcast?
That's a callback from the Dumbfellas. Listen to Dumbfellas if you want in on the jokes.
That's a true story, by the way.
Now, what if... All right, same scenario. What if you came...
I'm a bitch, though, so I'd probably just be like...
No, all right. It gets better.
All right.
What if you came home...
All right.
And they weren't in bed, but you click the garage door opener, and they were in your car in the garage.
They were in my car?
They were in your car doing the deed in the garage. Even worse, not as bad?
I drive a small car, dude.
Right, well, they're making it work.
Good for
they're
them.
They're midgets. You
good.
Married a midget, and she's banging a midget.
Good for them.
Okay. Say the guy's a mechanic, and the guy was working on your car. And unbeknownst to you,
where's this going?
Your wife said to the guy, I don't have money to pay for this. So,
it's a porno.
Okay. Even worse, like the fact that she's giving up services, or does it make it better?
Is she saving me money?
Is she taking one for the team, figuratively and literally?
All right. My wife,
yes, Mish,
is saving me money by. Are we talking intercourse, or are we talking little handy in the corner?
No, paying for services, like full services in the vehicle, and you catch them in the act.
I mean, I can't imagine I'd be happy.
Okay, but you're a little better with that?
In the car? No, they're both reprehensible.
Okay. What if...
You don't base this on geography.
This is getting somewhere. Now, what
if... I hope so.
You get home, and you see that... All right, a step before that. The guy. All right, so the guy's the mechanic. He's all right. Fine. The next step, the last step. You press the button.
Right.
The lights are on in the car. You peek in the car.
Piece of shit, motherfucker.
This mechanic is on top of your wife.
Oh my!
But they're both dead in the car.
Would I rather catch them banging, or would I rather catch?
A man returned home to his Newark home Monday night to find his wife and the mechanic she was having sex with dead after they were overcome by carbon monoxide in the couple's garage.
Woo.
The 39-year-old woman was apparently paying for work on her car by having sex with the 56-year-old
mechanic. Is that the grandma? Is that the gilf?
How awful. Police responded Monday night in Newark to the apartment complex at 18th and New Fairview Avenues, if you're looking to do any hunting out there for you weird New Jerseyans, call of sick or injured persons. Officers discovered the man and woman in a running vehicle inside the closed garage.
Fucking play buck. Play buck. Play buck.
I'm sorry.
Play buck.
You idiots.
One more time.
You hear that clicking?
You idiots.
I think I have too much open tonight because I was doing some research. How bad is that?
I'd rather catch them alive.
And dude, they left. Wait. They left the car running, which means that it must have been so hot in that garage. What was the? No, it was.
They
cold.
Probably had Barry White on the Hot 97 or whatever or Kiss FM.
All right, stereotypes.
Remember Kiss FM?
Yeah, of course I do.
Well, it's love making music. It wasn't stereotype. White well, people could bang it out to Kiss FM. I've got the radio stations confused.
Well, there you go.
Let's get it on.
Holy cow! I had to bring that up. I wanted to see how far it was too far for you. And it made sense since we were listening to the Owen Hart song.
It's awful.
I've got a better one for you.
Breaking news, Tessa Blanchard signs long-term contract with TNA.
I saw that too. Good for her. So that means she'll be wrestling for 6 months, right?
That's long. Oh, wow.
Sorry. Like old TNA jokes, that old gag.
You idiots.
They haven't gone anywhere yet.
You idiots.
Let me see. Fandango had surgery. Who cares? Whatever.
Wow. Wow.
Well, what has Breezango really been doing?
It doesn't. Yeah, but you said it like you don't care.
I care about the guy. I don't want the guy to be like dying or not wrestling anymore. But
I really Christopher Walken that. Wow. Oh man, I did it.
He's hurt. I can't do it.
What about Scott Casey? Did you hear about that?
Champagne. Why? He hurt his shoulder too?
No, he had a heart attack.
Get out of here.
He's okay. He's
Jobber
okay.
Scott Casey?
Scott Casey.
Wait, roids or overweight?
I don't know.
Can we get a Scott Casey now photo?
I mean, we're an audio podcast.
But I mean, I need to see it. You can't just drop that in my lap. I got to find out.
He says he's resting in the hospital.
Well. Hey, Ricky.
This is all according to our friends at PWInsider.com.
Ricky, I defend him when he's wrong.
This is actually Dave Scherer, so it's not Mike Johnson.
Well, he's wrong sometimes.
Whoa.
I'm just saying. No reason to Scott Casey. Oh, he's bald now?
Probably. He was balding then.
He shaves his head, unless it's not him. It's hard to tell. There's a lot of Scott Casey.
You remember Casey. Scott Casey?
No, I remember him, but who knows what he looks like now?
He's probably bald.
Yeah, he's pretty bald.
He was balding then. His hair was thinning in the front.
That's probably him.
That's
not him. That's him. That's not him.
Cowboy Scott Casey, Les Thatcher posts. Update on my buddy Scott Casey. Just talked to him, and he is resting and in good spirits, and surgery will be Friday. Please keep him in your thoughts and prayers.
I like how in the first couple rows of pictures is a picture of David Sammartino.
God. Oof. I started listening to the Beefcake episode of
Beefcake,
the Richard Show.
It's pretty good.
I haven't listened to it. I'm only like 50 minutes.
You know what? There's people out there that bitch and moan when they see like 4-hour episodes on like Sable and Brutus Beefcake. Dude, you gotta listen.
Sable episode, I'm not gonna lie. Whatever.
No, Sable was fine. Rockers and Marty Jannetty, the follow-up.
That was a great episode.
That was unbelievable. How many times he got fired and rehired and fired and rehired?
But, like, the only part about the Sable story that I cared about was when she came back in the early 2000s. That's what I wanted. I wanted to know what happened there. Because after all the other stuff I kind of knew, like the lawsuits and all that stuff. But, again, Pritchard puts a good spin on it because he was there.
Yeah, well.
But I never knew. I always wanted to know how her return came about. So that was enlightening, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Gotcha.
But and then I skipped over the King of the Ring 98 because I wanted to get to the Beefcake episode.
There you go. Okay. So here. Now, this comes to us from stillrealtous.com. And it was from one of these, like, I've never heard of barnburner.ca, so I can't vouch for them.
That's Canada.
But sometimes these websites have an inkling of truth into what they put out. What if I told you that WrestleMania, the biggest spectacle of them all, right? The granddaddy of them all, is that Starcade? Whatever.
No, the granddaddy of them all.
Whatever.
On the grandest stage of them all.
Biggest event of the year.
And the grand old.
Am I lying? That's the be-all, end-all. Supposed to be the end of the line for all the storylines. Everything gets tied together with a pretty bow.
Until the next pay-per-view.
We start the new stuff the next night on Raw.
Until the next pay-per-view.
So, WrestleMania is a big deal. What if I told you that starting in 2020, you were not only going to have WrestleMania in April, but you were going to have WrestleMania in October? What would you say?
Play Pep Buck, please.
You idiots.
Yeah, that's what I would say. play, play.
Boo!
play. I want to play Eli. Play Eli Drake, please.
Oh,
play dummy. Eli. Yeah.
Play that. I like this. What
play,
else?
Play
you want?
My play my reaction to feet, please. If you don't mind.
Fuck, just, it's on a different page.
Just right play that. No, it's okay. You get that. Just play that. Play that. My reaction to WrestleMania.
You
WrestleMania in October. One more time, please. One more time. WrestleMania in October.
Oh, wait. I can play different ones.
No, no, no. Just WrestleMania in October. WrestleMania in October. Play the other one.
Play the, fucking bullshit.
Play the, play the feet one again, please, if you don't mind. Play that one.
Oh, you... You did, no.
I love that one.
Yeah.
It could, this fits for so many different things. Kev, you hanging out with Macintosh again? Kev, you in my bathroom? Kev, WrestleMania in October.
Kev, thoughts on that girl you slept with last night?
Kev, you reach out to Kurt Hawkins about your Lex Luger figure?
Kev, thoughts on a 39-year-old grandma?
That could be my new favorite soundbite. We had it for years.
It's underrated. How do we not?
So underrated. I might have to move this to page one.
Hey, Tony, thoughts on that soundbite?
Fuck, do I have a spot on page one? Oh, yes, I do. Oh, we're moving this one over.
Tony, I'm so glad you put the Wall of Fame back up.
Oh, wait. I'm moving.
That was my bad.
Fuck, I lost it.
No! What do you mean? No!
Holy shit. Wow. Do you have any other news and notes? Yeah, so there's talk about actually doing two WrestleManias, and the reasoning behind it,
that's
according to the page, was that they had a successful Royal Rumble and greatest Royal Rumble of all time in the same year.
Dirt
and
cheats.
The thought process is, Kevin, that the second WrestleMania is going to be an international WrestleMania. Yeah. So it might be WrestleMania in London, might be WrestleMania in Australia, might be maybe WrestleMania in Japan. Just saying, if they got this Saudi Arabia money, might not be a bad idea to have WrestleMania in India.
Don't call it WrestleMania. Call it something else.
Well, they called the Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia the greatest
Brexit
Royal Rumble.
Mania.
What if they call it the greatest WrestleMania?
Did you just no sell the whole Brexit?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's fine. Just play.
I don't like Britons.
Just play that soundbite again.
Fucking quiz!
Sorry about that one. I meant this one.
There it is. Goldust undergoing the old knife as well.
Oh, Jesus, what is with the surgery? You saw Ricky Steamboat had a hip replacement, right? The Dragon?
No, I did not.
I think it broke after you guys finished your show last week.
His hip broke?
No, he had it replaced.
You can't break your hip, can you? Yeah, you can.
Of course you can.
Yeah, his hip broke after our episode.
Was he trying to lift Granite Man?
The hip broke, then the story broke.
I'm surprised so many more people don't refer to Larry Zbyszko as Granite Man. That's such a great fucking nickname.
Is that what he was called?
That's what they were calling him. You don't remember when Steamboat talked about the tag match where they won the titles and he was Dustin Rhodes' secret partner?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They said, Granite Man, got your working boots on tonight. That was a great.
That's a good dude. That's that team of Steamboat and Dustin Rhodes was
a
fun
great
team.
Fucking tag match.
A very
too.
Out of nowhere fun team to watch.
Yeah,
and that was when Ricky Steamboat left after.
Well,
who
got hurt? Wyndham got hurt, and he replaced.
Yeah, he replaced Wyndham.
Fucking A, dude. Steamboat was like the. All right, you're gonna give me shit for it, but he was like the Tito Santana in WCW, dude. He could do no wrong.
But he was a bigger,
versatile.
And well, we're not going to get into this whole Tito Santana could have been world champion
stuff. You don't want to name another episode after Tito Santana?
No, we don't. There were fucking five episodes in a row where we named after Tito Santana.
It was two. Relax.
Felt like five.
Well, honestly, and I'll give him a plug, I think we actually named three episodes after the Sign Girls. I think we did. Oh,
you know what
Kevin
to do.
Kevin just fucking points to me now.
There you go.
I'm snorting like a fucking idiot. Holy shit.
I haven't seen them in a while. Those the ladies.
Well, the one of them is getting married, right? I don't know.
But anyway,
well,
whatever. Love the Sign Girls.
We love them, of course.
No worries.
Yeah,
that's right.
Correct.
trying to find the fucking card for the pay-per-view on Sunday.
Oh, shit. That's right. Extreme Rules.
And I did watch Raw. I watched... You know how I watched...
All right. Talk about Raw. I'll look up Extreme Rules.
You know how I watched Raw? I went on YouTube and found Raw highlights. 25 minutes. I was done with Raw.
That's how Raw should be.
It was amazing. It was fantastic.
Fantastic. The greatest.
It was amazing.
No.
No respect.
Would you like champagne?
Champagne. Miscusi.
Oh, fuck. Team Hell No's coming back.
Yeah. And that's another thing that we could probably talk about.
Oh, shit.
Is Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
And, like, what is...
They don't like his ideas?
I don't know. Daniel Bryan get no respect.
Ah, fuck him.
But anyway, I mean, I guess maybe because he's probably going to... I mean, Matt thinks he's going to be gone.
ABC-ya.
Team Hell, nice to know ya.
Ooh.
Hey. There we go. All right. That's
Kevin's had enough.
For this week, anyway.
It's not funny when it's you.
No. I like it. I think it can be used on so many different levels.
But sparingly.
But no, we jumped the shark a little bit so far with it, I think. Unless... But then again, in 5 seconds, we're going to say something that's going to require it.
No, it's fine. I just want you to know I've been updating the pad data while we air live on rantdmradio.com.
I don't even know what that means.
In other words, like when people log in, it'll say like now airing and you could put whatever you want. So like I'll put like Shining Wizard. I usually put like SW in the episode number.
Ah.
And then after that, I'll put something that's going on. So like when Kevin Gill was on, I had OG Kevin Gill. Mm. When Matt McIntosh was on, I put Matt McIntosh. You know, like right now I put Extreme Rules because we're talking about Extreme Rules.
That guy's a bad apple.
You know, so it pays to listen live. Even
that's
though
right.
We do appreciate you listening. Wherever
Dickos.
You listen. Yeah, fuck face.
To try to find the fucking... Oh, there was talk about the TLC pay-per-view potentially not happening.
I heard it was moved to December.
It's moved to December.
But doesn't that mean there's no December to Dismember this year?
There hasn't been a December to Dismember since before December to Dismember existed. Because that's a non-existent thing.
Yes.
You
want me to go over the card?
No, well, let me just go with the TLC thing first, because this is weird. Sorry. I don't think I remember hearing a story like this before.
Okay.
Sources within World Wrestling Entertainment have confirmed to PW Insider that WWE TLC pay-per-view will now take place on December 16th and will now be in San Jose as opposed to Boston. So now Boston's getting a house show.
Ha ha.
While San Jose is getting a pay-per-view.
Well, you know why? I think it makes sense because San Jose is nicer weather
for December.
Yeah.
So worried about low attendance, move it out to...
No, I think...
But Boston people know how to fucking travel in the snow.
Fucking Boston. Get to the fucking arena.
Dude, you know what I'm saying? Like, Boston knows how to travel in weather.
Who the hell was it? Was it Kurt Schilling was in George Steinbrenner's box? I forget how that goes.
I don't know.
Ah! Fucking Boston, you fucking cocksuckers.
Isn't Kurt Schilling a racist?
Yeah, he's a fucking piece of shit, Kevin.
I don't know. Anyway, all right, let's go over this. I watched Raw. Just do some quick notes from Raw. Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns is apparently a feud.
Roman Reigns.
Because I haven't watched, this is the first time I've watched, quote unquote, air quotes, Raw in like a couple weeks. So that's a feud. They had a pull-apart brawl, which I'm a big mark for. I love pull-apart brawls.
Mark.
That's the only time you get to see Hawkins on TV is when there's a brawl and he fucking has to come out and break it up.
Correct. Ding.
There was a cool picture of him and Sasha Banks. I want to say on his
Twitter. Creative Pro.
Yes, with the Creative Pro shirts on. Very cool.
Yep. Lashley and Roman is a feud. They're fighting at Extreme Rules on Sunday, which we'll get to.
Great.
You know, the Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax.
Oh, I caught the ending. Go ahead. Keep going.
No, we'll talk about it. Go right to it.
I caught the ending of...
with Rollins and McIntyre?
Yes. McIntyre can go. I just have a feeling that maybe people aren't on board with him yet.
It was a weird transition to the main roster to me.
He's like... I hope he doesn't have the NXT curse where nobody's going to get it for him, you know?
Yeah, but he's been there before, though.
I know, but I don't know. Like, people... There's nothing there that, like, he's great, and they're building him up as a monster, but there's just something that's not clicking yet.
I don't know if it's the fit between him and Dolph. That they should have more chemistry to me together than they do.
Yeah.
I think.
But you're putting him in that, like, bodyguard muscle kind of role, and he's way too talented for that role.
Which is fine, because on the other side, you have Rollins and Roman Reigns. Which, to me, that's a perfect match. Small guy, big guy.
Yeah, but...
But it's... But he's not. He's in the secondary spot, whereas Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns are clearly equals to me.
Yeah, but Reigns is getting a fucking reaction. He's getting a shit reaction, but the people fucking are giving him a reaction.
Last night, it seemed to me that he was getting some good reactions in his one-on-one with Dolph. But
well, don't worry. When he wrestles Lashley this weekend, I'm sure that'll all go to fucking shit can.
I didn't even think about that. What's this? Do you have the stipulation?
Dude, nobody cares about Bobby Lashley. I'm sorry.
I agree. It's unfortunate. I agree with you.
You know?
I agree with you. And I think that, and I don't want to get too much into the whole, you know, why I think this, whatever, but I agree with you to an extent about Drew McIntyre. Don't think this was the best way to bring
him
up.
It's weird. Like, he's got no footing yet, and it sucks.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I agree with the Bobby Lashley thing. Bobby Lashley's return has, I mean, there's still time to change it, I guess, but it's just, it's, for some, his first program was with Sami Zayn. Really had no legs.
Yeah.
And now this thing with Roman Reigns, which I guess is just a placeholder until SummerSlam for something. I don't know. It just doesn't seem... I mean, this is better than the Sami Zayn thing, I think. Because this is way more personal, and this is way more like...
That was what the fuck.
Not personal, but because he brought his Max Caster out.
Would you think that Bobby Lashley would have been better off in somebody like a Samoa Joe?
Yes.
But Samoa Joe's still hurt? Is he not around?
He's on
SmackDown.
He's on SmackDown.
That's right. Fuck!
I think
that's all going to disappear when this whole Fox thing happens, by the way. You watch.
The whole thing, like, I don't know how you use a guy like Bobby Lashley. And this to me is like.
He's got babyface syndrome.
Yeah.
He looks too goofy for his frame.
Yep. But he's. This is why.
Like Big E's that way to a lesser extent, but at least Big E's in a goofy gimmick right now. Like he can be muscle, but he could still be a funny jackass.
But to me, I feel like if Big E turned on Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston tomorrow, he'd be believable as a top heel.
Yeah, he looks like the lead singer of Cameo on Coke.
What is Cameo?
You don't remember Word Up?
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah. But, and I would change his gear, too, because I would change Big E's gear, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. He's got to go without the suspenders.
Yes.
And if he's got a muscle gut, he's got a muscle gut. Who gives a shit?
Everyone had muscle guts.
No, but what
the
I'm saying
early
is...
early 90s were filled with muscle guts.
I get that, but he should, like, he doesn't need to be Ted Arcidi and cover that shit up. Just like, fucking let it... Make yourself look different, dude. You don't have to be the big guy with fucking two suspenders, you know what I'm saying? With the fucking singlet.
Yeah, it was... But, I mean, he had success in NXT, and he had... When he came in with Ziggler, he was okay, and I thought they were going to give him a push when they had him break away as a babyface with Cena and Mark Henry.
You know what he needs? He needs a little white woman. That's what he needs.
Didn't he have a little white woman?
Yeah, he was with AJ Lee for a while when he was with
Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler, yeah.
Oh, but he also was like the he was supposed to be the crush for Caitlyn, and then there was a whole swerve for AJ to beat up Caitlyn.
Yes.
That. Yeah. But where were we talking? Oh, Bobby Lashley.
Yes. Babyface.
And this is where it kills me to keep saying it. This is where a manager would be awesome.
Remember when Donald Trump was managing him and he said this big black athlete?
Did he say that?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I don't remember that, but it doesn't surprise me.
It wasn't, look, I'm not getting into politics, but it was not meant like as a racist thing. Like he just like this.
If it was an accident, how can you construe it any other way?
Because I call people black all the time. Like what's the difference? Like, look.
No, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean,
like,
you're not saying anything.
If a black guy was describing me and he said, like, hey, the white guy over there, would it fucking bother me?
That's
you know what I'm saying?
Fair. Yep. But.
But he did call him the black guy.
Like, what if you bring back Paul Ellering and have him manage Bobby Lashley? Maybe not. I'm just throwing out a name.
I would love Harvey Whippleman to manage Bobby Lashley. Mm. That would be awesome. Fucking Fonzie. A fucking runt.
A Fonzie.
A runt. A Fonzie to Lashley's Taz. That's how you get fucking Lashley over.
Don't have Lashley say a word.
That's it. Come to the ring, cross your arms. Who gives a shit if it's Taz? It was 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That works.
I agree.
And he's a fucking MMA fighter too, dude.
And I think they're improving with Lashley. It's just, and again, this is just to me who maybe watches in and out of Raw
fuck
every now and then.
Lesnar. getting challenged by the new heavyweight champion in UFC.
It's a word. Look, he can't fight till January.
He should have got himself on the clock a few months ago, but I guess he didn't want it to break in the press. But where does that leave Brock? Is he going to be hanging around? That's another question. Do you have to build?
Who knows? Like, if
I'm just saying, I think it's noteworthy because Brock is the Universal Champion.
It's definitely noteworthy. It's just,
do they let him hang on to the belt until January so he can bring it out to the octagon? Does Vince want his product being represented at UFC? You know what I'm saying? It's huge crossover, and it's a fucking...
Yeah, but WWE probably gets... I don't know what the deal is, but I
don't think it hurts WWE having their belt on UFC television. Having Joe Rogan talk about how he's like the king of professional wrestling. Hey, it worked for Dan Severn. When he came out with the NWA belt, I thought it was cool as shit.
Yes, but Brock Lesnar is so far up and above. He's already been a star in UFC, so... Everyone already knows who he is. Everyone already knows what he does.
Yeah, but they also have the UFC. They have the WWE belt on UFC television.
No, I get it, but everyone already knows.
I get it, but that's still an awesome visual. How cool is it when they fucking show the broadcast on ESPN? Like, they show the highlights, and the fucking WWE championship, the Universal Championship is right there. That's a cool visual, dude. It doesn't happen often.
I think you're overstating it.
I don't know.
I think you're overrating it.
I think
WWE is on ESPN enough as it is.
But I'm telling you, McMahon boner for his title.
No, he'll probably get the. Yeah, you'll get the McMahon boner.
Fucking A, dude, and that's why it's going to happen. Brock's not losing that title anytime soon.
Nah, you might be right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just like, I think the whole optic aspect is going to be blown a little bit out of proportion just because Brock Lesnar has already been a UFC star. He's already been a WWE star.
I get it, but now he's got a WWE championship on his shoulder or around his waist.
But then you... All right, here's the thing. If he happens to go into a title fight and wins the UFC heavyweight championship...
How cool is it holding up
the belt?
And then
does it? But you bring in that title into an octagon against a heavyweight champion in a shoot fight situation, no one's going to take the Universal Championship belt seriously.
Who's the guy that won the title?
Cormier.
Dan Cormier. That's right. He's not a big guy.
No, I think Brock would absolutely destroy him.
He's the light heavyweight champion too, isn't he? He stepped up to challenge for that title.
That I don't know.
Yeah, he's the current UFC light heavyweight champion, UFC heavyweight champion. He's ranked the fourth best pound for pound fighter in the UFC.
Just going by size, Brock Lesnar. Just again, I don't know anything about UFC. Just looking at them face to face, Brock would squash him.
I don't know.
Just from the visual aspect.
You look at a guy like Evander Holyfield. He fought most of his career as a light heavyweight. He stepped up, took on some of the biggest names.
Holyfield
was a light heavyweight, yeah.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, no shit. He stepped up. He might have even been a cruiserweight. I'm not even sure if he was even a light heavyweight.
I think he beat Kidman.
Well, ding. There boo. You go. But yeah, he stepped up, and that's his fucking feud with Riddick Bowe was one of the greatest fucking feuds in boxing history.
That I remember. I remember watching boxing in the late 80s, early 90s.
Got his ear bit off by Tyson. The fight was interrupted with Bowe by Fan.
But he was bigger than Tyson.
Taller, yes, but Tyson was a fucking brick shithouse.
Yeah, I think Holyfield was more jacked.
Jacked, sure, but Tyson was a fucking, he was a pug, dude.
No, I get it, but I'm saying, like, Tyson was the best heavyweight fighter of all time. Ali, if you want to go there.
Okay,
but,
I mean, the argument can be made, sure.
But Holyfield, again, this is just going by memory. Holyfield, I think, towered over Tyson. Did he not?
I don't think so.
And size, in girth and height? Height. Lake Hiawatha?
Great. I'm so happy nowadays when you search Tyson, the first thing that comes up is Tyson Foods and not
Chicken?
Mike Tyson.
Wow. We'll trade you. I don't know who George Costanza is, but if you want him, we're not giving him up.
I'm sure if I start typing Evander, that Holyfield will be the first one, because I don't know.
Or maybe
many...
Kane, the hockey player.
Well, sorry. Evander Holyfield still came up first.
Alcoholic chicken.
He's the only four-time world heavyweight champion. He held the WBA, WBF, IBF, and lineal titles. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Here, light heavyweight, cruiserweight, heavyweight. Those were his three weight classes.
All right.
I'm not crazy.
No, I didn't say you were. I had no clue.
6'2.5". His weight, doesn't have his weight though, but he was 6'2". Mike Tyson, 5'10". So he had a 4-inch height advantage over him.
Instead of pretzels,
I don't have tails in the tape, but.
Alcoholic chicken. That's my, did you ever watch Seinfeld?
Of course. Alcoholic chicken? Why not?
Yeah.
Mike Tyson's only 52. Evander Holyfield's only 55. They're still fucking young guys, dude.
Wow.
Fucking A. All right, you know what? We don't have too much more time left on the rant. You want to blow through Extreme Rules?
Yeah, let's do this because I have no clue what the
New
card is.
Day against Sanity in a tables match. It's on the pre-show.
That's the pre-show?
It's on the pre-show.
Well.
Yeah. And?
I guess Sanity. I don't know.
I don't. This is the
Killian
worst
Dane. That's our boy. Big Damo.
Yeah.
Called one of his matches, too, when he first came to the States.
I'm going
to
go New Day.
He's a great guy. I'll go Sanity. I don't give a fuck. Alexa Bliss rematch Nia Jax. Extreme Rules match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. What
Ronda
does that
Rousey
mean?
Will be in the front
that
row.
That means weapons, no DQs, shit like that. Yeah,
the works.
Nia?
I got to go Alexa.
I kind of want to go Alexa. Maybe Ronda
Rousey.
But Ronda
Rousey gets involved or something.
Maybe Ronda
like that.
Turns. Ronda's either going to turn on Nia or she's going to cost Nia. Because Alexa wants to keep her title. That's the way they're going to do it. They're going to keep Ronda on a slow burn to WrestleMania. That's where she's going to have her moment.
I'll go Alexa.
Yeah, Alexa. Screw job, but Alexa. Styles against Rusev for the WWE Championship.
Fuck Rusev. Styles.
I'm going to go Rusev.
You're out of your fucking balls.
I'm going to go Rusev.
You're out of your balls.
Maybe Pert Plus needs some time off.
Pert Plus?
Inclusive Breakdown calls him Pert Plus because he's got stylish fucking healthy hair.
Good for him.
Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt. Tag titles defended for Raw against the B Team. Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel.
Ooh, I can see the B Team getting there.
I'm thinking that as well.
They can get there. Hey, thanks.
Because as much as people like Wyatt and Hardy, I don't think the push is behind them.
But I'm gonna say Matt and Bray.
I'm gonna go B Team. They finally have their moment. Carmella versus Asuka singles match, SmackDown Women's Championship.
Jeez. Can you have Carmella beat her again? I say Asuka.
Title changes.
I say Asuka.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Asuka too. Fuck it. Why not? Everybody's losing. Bludgeon Brothers versus Team Hell No, SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Team Hell No. Got to do it for the nostalgia pop. Kane's going to be fucking governor or whatever.
Maybe Kane turns heel. Bludgeon Brothers.
Fuck. I'm going Team Hell No.
I'm going Bludgeon Brothers.
Fuck. Ziggler with Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins. 30-minute Iron Man for the Intercontinental Championship.
Rollins.
Dolph. Is that you said Rollins?
Rollins.
Fuck.
That's okay.
Okay. Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley for whatever, singles match.
I actually don't know.
I think Reigns wins.
He's been losing a lot lately.
Yeah, I know.
No
way they give it to Lashley. Lashley's got shit.
I feel like they have to, though. I feel like if they want to make something of Lashley, he has to win.
I think they're bailing on Lashley. Honestly, he's going to be joining Titus Worldwide soon.
Oh, God. I'm going Lashley.
Jeff Hardy, Shinsuke Nakamura for the U.S. Championship. So what? Shinsuke just is not going for world titles anymore?
And the U.S. title's still a pretty big deal.
I understand, but maybe Nakamura. Yeah. You know why? To piss off New Japan because they have an American U.S. champion. So he's going to give him a Japanese U.S. champion. I'm going Nakamura.
I agree. I'll go Nakamura. I think Jeff Hardy was the perfect transitional guy to get him Nakamura
there you go.
Over.
Please rant. Don't cut us off. We got two more matches. Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin in a singles match.
Finn Balor.
Yeah, Finn Balor. Fuck Baron Corbin, the constable. Fuck his ass. Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens in a steel cage. I don't think there's any question. I've got to go with Braun Strowman on that
Agreed.
One. Unless they do a gay thing where he fucking falls out of the cage again, but I don't think it's going to happen. I say Strowman fucking dominates and that's it.
I got to pee so bad.
All right, we're saying goodbye to the rant anyway, so stay tuned for AA and the rant on the rant. I don't know how that works. Coming up now, I guess we'll stick around for another couple seconds to get out Kevin's plugs. No, you got nothing?
I'll plug shit.
All right,
care.
So we're leaving the rant. If not, whatever.
Well, let me plug stuff on the rant. Hey, guys, at Kevin Grifo on Twitter, at Shining Witches Kevin on Instagram. July 22nd, Tierney's Tavern. July 18th, West Stars, New Jersey, Brown Bear Pub. Live comedy, free comedy for one, not the other, but... Enjoy. Thank
Pay
you.
Pay for it. He deserves it.
Pay
Give him
me.
Some money.
Pay right. this man his
Bye,
money.
Rant.
Bye, Rant.
Okay, we're off the rant.
All right.
All right, fine for that. You have anything else for the people in podcast form, or is this a short one? We'll play a little music. We'll get the fuck out of here.
July 18th, July 22nd.
Yeah, actually take some time for the plugs.
support the other podcasts on the Shining Wizards Network, the Dumb Fellows podcast. It's myself. It's KP Burke. It's Rich McDonald. It's Joe Carney. It's Natty Bumper Car. At Dumbfellas Pod on Twitter, at Dumbfellas Podcast on Instagram.
All those guys will be your friends on Facebook except for Joe Carney.
And we'll be recording. we'll be recording on July 22nd live at Tierney's, and then the five of us are on the same exact lineup. Comedy shows.
So. Are you guys going to start doing audiences for your podcast?
Probably
recording?
Not.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I want to come up to the Brown Bear one night and just harass the shit out of you guys. So,
dude, we sit in the back corner of the dining room and just let it fly. It was great. Oh. We did two episodes last night.
You know what? I might have to have Matt come up. We might have to
do a hybrid.
We might have to do a little Dumb Wizards podcast action.
I'm in.
That would be fucking awesome.
Yeah. So please, download, follow.
Support the dumb fellas. Tell a friend. Tell a wrestler. Tell everybody.
We're available on the iTunes, obviously, the Laughable app, which is a comedy podcast network. Stitcher, Shining Wizards Network, GardenStateComedy.com.
Which is available on Audio Boom, by the way, and the TuneIn app. So if you guys, if you want to take the dumb fellas on the road with you while they go on the road to perform the comedies,
yep.
Tune in on TuneIn.
Some big things in the works, hopefully, too, in terms of touring and stuff. So we'll see. We shall see.
Do you have a special request to leave to?
Nah, whatever you want. I really have to urinate.
All right. You know what? Fuck it. We'll go out with a little more of our buddy. Jason Sines. I'll play a quick one and that'll be it.
There you go.
Dong, gonna take his dong, he's 10 feet long. Tombstone puts you in the ground. No one's gotta carry that urn around. Gonna take his big dong.
Oh, and buy a shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards. Buy a shirt. Buy a picture of Matt. Buy a Matt picture shirt thing. I tell you what, I'm going to give away a shirt, Kev.
Hey, hold on.
All right, hurry up and pee. I'm going to give away a shirt because we haven't given away a shirt in a while. And yeah, I know, I still have to make calls to people that fucking bought shirts. I'm a bad boy. But I've got an idea, and it's going to be an intermediate one because why not? And we're going to get you an Uncle Matt t-shirt just for supporting us. I'm waiting for Kevin. Because he's peeing right now. You know what? I'll play some sound bites while he's doing that.
Shut the fuck up!
I'm sorry there, Penn Jillette. I know I'm talking a lot.
Oh my God, I have fucking AIDS. I'm going to die.
I miss that guy, Josh Daniels. Wonder what he's up to these days.
He's fat!
No, he's not fat. Scott Steiner, shame on you. He's definitely not fat. There's a lot of people in this world are fat. But he's definitely not one of them.
Jesus!
Yes, you got to pray to Jesus. Okay, Kevin, I'm going to give away an Uncle Matt shirt. And this is what I'm going to do. We mentioned that this was my third year. This is my anniversary 3 years ago for Tier 1 for my commentary debut.
Ah.
Send us a message on what? Twitter?
Whatever.
Want to do Twitter?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Give Matt more work.
Send us a message on Twitter. I mentioned two of the guys that I've done commentary with for Tier 1 Wrestling in this episode. If you can name three people that I've done commentary with for Tier 1.
Wait, you mentioned two, but they have to guess three?
I mentioned two, they got to guess three. The third one, listen, the third one is the easiest one of all. Honest to God, easiest one of all. Mention
no
all
No one's
going
to get that.
They're going to get it.
You got to make it easy. You got to make it a softball, man.
No, it's a softball, dude. When I tell you who it is off the air, it's a softball.
Yeah, but
it's a softball.
You normally don't do that. You don't make them do more work than
Let them do work. Fuck it.
I mean, I don't care. But
I mentioned two of them in this episode.
So you should have them name one.
Oh, God, really? No, you know, all right, you know what? Fuck it. The third
Or one, name both of them.
All right, name the two that I mentioned in this episode.
So it forces them to listen. They're not going to listen if they have to guess a third.
Well, they've already listened if they've gotten this far. Now they have to go back and listen again.
That's a good point.
Oh, you know what? Fuck it. You know what?
Name two. Name the two.
Name any two.
No. Name the two that
you
mentioned.
No,
you
can name the two.
Name the two that you mentioned on the show.
All right, fuck it.
There you go.
And if you name all three, I'm still only going to send you one shirt.
That's right.
Contest ends.
But I'll sign the receipt.
Contest ends Friday. So nobody can fucking win this like 10 years from now.
All right, Tony's feeling generous.
So the contest ends Friday, July 13th at 12:01 a.m. So you have 2 days to figure it out.
Are you sure we only mentioned two? We may have mentioned three.
It doesn't matter. The two that we mentioned, if we mention three, fuck it, you get a shirt. And it's the first one.
Yeah, so only one shirt.
All right, two.
Ah!